Blog Talk Radio.
Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in. Grudge Inc. Grudgebook. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs. Being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon. Mickey Thompson Performance Tires carries all the specialty tires you need for street, strip, track, and off-road cars. They pride themselves on providing you with the best performance tires in the world. Mickey Thompson Performance Tires are available at a number of retail locations, such as Performance Plus, Jags, and McCormick Racing. For more information, log on to www.mickeythompsontires.com. Once again, www.mickeythompsontires.com.
Cadillac Roundtable. How y'all feeling on this beautiful
Friday night, Valentine's Day. But we're going to burn Valentine out with some rubber. What you say? But let me know how you feel about that. I'm here. I'm listening at y'all. We need to get this in tonight for real, because Cadillac got to do what he got to do. But they've been, you know, all on the Cadillac, baby, baby. You got to do. I got to do my show first. Come on. So the Cadillac in here, you want to push that one button. Don't be scared. Let's talk. Let's talk about it. Burn rubber on the red carpet. What about that tonight? What topic you want to talk about tonight? Come on in. Push the one. Yeah, the Cadillac. Hello?
What up, Cadillac?
What's up, baby boy?
Man, I can't call it, man.
Man, this is Red Friday, man. This is the sweet day, man. Did you get all your stuff in? You got everything prepared? Did you get them chocolates?
Man, look, man, I got something. The women that mean the most in my life. I got my mom some flowers.
Amen, there you go.
And I got my daughter some chocolates.
Man, you in the house, bro. That's the main thing right there. That's what the Cadillac did. Cadillac got it in for the family. They come first, then the midgets come in and do what they do. Then Cadillac sit back, get his toes done and everything. So I'm just waiting for the, as soon as I get off the show, it's going down. They've been doing a little something special already, but you know the Cadillac had to regroup. Because, man, when they get started, I can't do nothing. I'm done. So, you know, Cadillac said, hold on, let me get this in first. So my fans come first. Appreciate you tuning in there.
Yeah, you got to, man, you know. So ain't no doubt, baby boy.
Hey, man, that's the love of the game, man. I love what I do, man. I love the show, man. I love drag racing, bro. Racing and everything, man. I just like the fun. I like to have fun with it, man. Get yourself down. If you ain't got no car, let's get out on them feet. Let's run. That's how we used to do back in the day.
And that's all it's about. Have some fun and enjoy one another. And we'll do it next time we see one another, you know?
That's all I'm saying. So I think the topic tonight going to be, what you think would be a good topic tonight there, baby boy?
Hey, can I say one more thing before we get the show started a little bit?
Yes, sir. Come on.
Man, we lost a fellow drag racer. Wednesday night on the west side of Chicago, named Big Chester. He always feuded Uncle Leroy and Uncle Larry. And he made his transition. And I just want to give a shout out to him and his family. And
amen.
You know, and just thank the Lord that we had the time that we had with him, and, you know. So
That's what I say, man. Life is so precious, but yet so short. So, you know, I want to send the condolences out to the brother's family, man, you know. May the Lord keep them, man, and help them, you know, because I lost a good friend of mine Monday. I just found out Wednesday night also. So, man, you know, you don't know how long you're going to be on this good green earth, on this earth here, but you got to get it in. So, you know, that means you got to love your loved ones while you're here. When you see them, they don't even call you. You got to call them up. Hey, what's going on with you? You still good? Hey, just keep in contact. That's all you can do, man.
Yeah, that's what it is, Cadillac. But go ahead with a topic. I don't know what to start with you, but I'm gonna follow your lead.
Well, man, you know, the Cadillac ain't got no problem leading because that's what Cadillacs do. They take the lead and go ahead with the rope, baby. Say, follow me. You heard. But I think
that
you say what?
I said I heard that.
Oh, ain't no doubt. I think a good topic tonight would be old school versus new school and drag racing. What do you think the new school has learned from the old school in drag racing? Or if you know, come in and add your topic to it, you know, I'm just shooting off the top of the hip today.
Well, with that, you got, with the new guys, I'm going to get to the start off with the new guys. They got a lot of modern day technology. Well, as the older guys, they didn't have the much knowledge that they had to deal with back then, you know, far as the weight of the car, the motor size, and making it 500 horses into 500 horses with three stages of nitrous on. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
With the newer guys, so with the chassis part of it, you had the old school of guys there hang the wheel up in the air, do a wheelie. Maybe some of the cars maybe ride in the air, the tires in the air, where they can put them in second gear and set them down and go ahead on about their business. But nowadays, with the new schoolers, they've got the technology of the car just hanging the wheel, maybe the weight transfer of the car, where it don't lift the wheel that high. You know what I'm saying? And when he grab second and grab that oligala, you know, so the older grudge racers back then, they didn't do no whole lot. They did a whole lot of arguing, but when they came to race, they didn't care about your tie size. If they thought they could beat you, they raced you.
Right, they would race you. But the technology, just like you said, is done, man, the skyrocket is so, it's a way bigger difference. But it still go back to the old school because the new school learned from the old school. They just, how would you say, they tweaked it. Now you got traction control and all that stuff, put data in the car. You can put it on your computer, and whenever you went to a track, you can program that into the computer and have your car run at one track the same way at another track.
Exactly.
And the atmosphere, the air. Oh, dude, it's something else, dude. But I remember back in the day, only thing a good tuner would do is be able to hear that carburetor, set that carburetor in that timer, wop, wop. Wasn't no nitrous. It was straight
put
up, man.
Put the timer light on and go racing.
And go racing. That would be it, man. So, you know, like I say, the old school is still good, but the new school has its tricks to the trade. But it learned from the old school. So it had to have a platform to start from. It's just like the old school racers versus the new style racers. The new style grudge racers, they're more, how would you say, direct to the point. They want to run, man, they want to just do their thing. And you can't blame them, but you got to have class or whatever it is you do out here. You got to, like, hold on, we're going to do it like this here. Nah, man, we didn't have all them stipulations. Man, all these stipulations, get yourself to the line. And hope you brought enough groceries in that trunk to get away, you know. But, you know, like I say, it's a big change. The new races and the old races, everybody coming together. Like I say, we got this mega party that we're going to have on the 23rd. It's called Chi-Town First Annual Mega Drag Race Party. Now, that's supposed to be pretty good at the Epic Center. And Dalton is 14-112 Chicago Road in Dalton on the 20th. Now,
right.
Now that's going to be real tight there.
I'll be there.
That's
going to
be
I'll
real
be
tight.
Time,
oh, yeah,
I'll
man. I'm definitely going to be in the place, man.
I'll be there supporting. You know, that's what
man,
we got to do. It's, you know, shout
out. You
got
to come out, man.
We got to come out and support one another, man. You know, talk a little mess. You know, enjoy one another. And you know.
Hey, we might get something going on out there with one of these everyday cars or something. See who can do the best donut or something.
Like, come on, man, you talking about drag racing now? You take? I saw my daddy win $3,000 with a grocery car. He drove around every day, going to work and everything in the car, man.
That's right, man, dude. I'm telling you, bro. Man, my boy had a Nova, man, had a big 454 in that Joker with Cadillac seats. Man, we went on Doty Road one night, towed this cat off, man. Tore him off. He had a big old 9-8. He thought he was going to get away. We gave him about three cars, man, before he could move. We was gone. We was out of there. But then, guess what happened, baby boy? The coil wire came off. The coil wire came off. And we got halfway to the end of the thing, and it popped loose.
Right.
So you know, man, it was a good thing, man. It's all right.
And that's old school street racing there, man.
That's old school for real there, brother. Ain't no doubt about it. Go 1-2-1-2. Hey, baby boy, I need you to do me a favor.
Go ahead, Lack.
Hey, I need you to take over the show for me for about like 10 minutes. I got a slight thing I got to do because like you know what time it is real quick. Cause it's coming. I got to
okay.
Do this real quick. Hold up.
All right, go
right
ahead, Lack. Yeah, but you know, like I say, guys, you know, you got guys that you know. The new school guys, you know, with all the stipulations and stuff like that, I don't think it should be stipulations to the point that you racing guys that's out of your class or anything like that. I just think that if you think you can beat a man racing, if you got a small block or a big block, if you feel like you can get away from him, you can get away from him. You better than racing, man. All this tie
hey,
size, man. Go ahead.
Hey,
go
baby
ahead.
Boy, you got perm on, you got boom on, you got big wheel on. They mics
turn
all open.
On.
They open.
Turn them on. What's going on, guys? How you doing this night tonight?
What's going on, man? It's Boom.
Oh, man,
what's going on, baby
man?
Boy?
Well, I can't call it, man. How you guys doing this lovely day and this lovely evening, man?
We're out running. I've been running
that's
all
what,
day, man.
That's what work do to you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Run it. Yeah, man. I'm on the show, man. I can't stay on long because I'm with the family and everything. But I want to let all the listeners and the viewers know that Boomer Wheels is promoting and Grudge Inc. is promoting the first Grudge Inc. race of the year 2014, March the 15th at No Problem Raceway. I would love to get some of you guys from Chicago and all in the northern area to come down and get under this warmer temperature down here in the south in Louisiana, man. We had a blast last year with this show. That was my first show last year. This is my second annual. I have 400 cars with 4,000 spectators. Now, we're striving to make a 600-car show with 6,000 spectators or more. So with that being said, man, anybody that's up there in Chicago looking for action, whether it's a car, whether it's a backhand car, whether it's a Tesla car or Pro Mile, I can tell y'all, Red Hot gonna be hot in the house. Big Nuts, Mailman, and all those guys are gonna be in the house looking for action, man. So, I mean, I don't want to hold up the show a whole lot of long time, man. But I'm giving out a personal invitation for anyone that will be traveling from the Chicago area or even out and beyond the Detroit. But I tell y'all, man, these are tough cats out here in Louisiana, man. And I know y'all been hearing about it, you know, and these guys really gonna get it in. And this guy Tony Boss Bond, man, he just keeps trying. He called Jay and said, Jay, find me somebody to lock in with. Find me somebody to lock. I'm gonna be there, and I know Biz is gonna be there. I think the DT Boost and somebody. He's using quite a few of the Texas guys that I've talked with. I haven't got anyone confirmed yet, but I do know GT Booster usually faithfully support my shows in Louisiana, Chris Nim. And, man, so many guys are going to support the show. So I'm just giving an invitation to you all, man, let y'all know that March the 15th, we're going to actually race that Friday the day before. So for y'all people that's traveling for long distance, y'all can come that Friday night and see how an unevent track works. And then the next following day, they put the women down on the track. One of the best hookiest tracks in the South. Things are a lot better than our track, so that tells you something about our track. But with that being said, man, Cadillac, man, I'm going to sit back and listen to the show, man. I'm going to be on mute a whole lot. But if anybody got any kind of questions about the event, how to get there, or you can go on noproblemraceway.com, and they get out the flyer and everything is posted up for this particular event. But other than that, man, I want all the listeners and viewers to understand, man, y'all, this is y'all's show, man. And if y'all don't tell y'all other friends and other races about y'all's show, you know, these shows have a tendency to be slow and not active and not a lot of people going. Like, a lot of them races up there where y'all at don't know that Cadillac Joe got this show. So You know, spread the word. If you got a Facebook page or Instagram, let them know that this go down to the same phone number here, 347-215-9989. It goes down every Friday at the Cadillac Show. All right, Cadillac, appreciate it, man. I'm going on mute.
All right. Now, you just heard the listeners and everybody that's on the radio station, you just heard the Legion of Boom going to a race party. Let me get the date right. The 15th of March, no raceway park. You got a street car, you got an everyday car, you got a pro mod, you got a back half car, you got a stock suspension car, you got a full chassis car. You are all invited. Chicago, Illinois, and around the country, you are invited to the Legion of Boom.
And I'm gonna put a little sweet in there. If anybody comes from Chicago and come to me and find Boom, I ain't gonna be hard to find. Cause I always run around like a chicken with my head cut out of my vent. But listen, if you come down, you let me know you're from Chicago and you don't know what no action is, don't know how to get no action, but you made that ride, get with me and I can get you on some action.
Hey, I don't mean to cut you off, Boom. Now, who you say when you say they called Jay Burns and wouldn't want you trying to find somebody to lock in?
Man, TV.
Tony Bass?
Yeah, man. Tony Bass
been kind of wrestling all week, man. I kind of got into it with BET the other night about some old mess, and he didn't want to understand what I was talking about, and I didn't mean no harm by saying it, but, you know, I said it, and, you know. But like you say, go ahead, finish what you got to say, but I just, you know, want to throw that out there. But he, you know, he came on the show, I think, Wednesday night. He came on Wednesday night, I think, and was just off the chain with it, so.
Well, I'm just
trying to reconfirm what you said about, you know, him trying to find somebody to lock in. There's some people out here that are racing.
Right, I understand, but this is my pledge to the Chicago Cats. If they come down to my show March the 15th, you understand me, and they come to Grudge Racing and gamble, get with me, and I'm going to be there probably the Friday night and be there until this hotel event is over with. But come to Boomer Wheels. If Boomer Wheels can get you a race, you understand me, we'll deal with the situation at hand. But I promise y'all, if y'all got cars, y'all really want Grudge, y'all really want a race, man, March 15th, no problem, Raceway. You said no way, Dre. No, it's no problem. Meaning when you come to our track, you got no problem. And I promise you, sticking ain't going to be your least worry, whatever you got. So we got 200-mile-an-hour car down here. So, you know, so I said 200-mile-an-hour car, not drag car. But,
you're going to have them. You're going to have 501 in the house.
With that being said, I'm going to go on mute, man.
You're going to have 501
in
the house.
Who is that? Is that the bread man?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How everybody doing? Baby boy.
How you doing, Mr. Bread? Mr. Bread man?
Hanging in there, baby boy. I'm just sitting back, man, listening to that Louisiana get down. I was asking him if he going to have 501 in the house.
Legion of Boom, did you hear the bread man? I think he went on mute because he said he was dealing with the fam. So, how you doing, Mr. Bread man?
Man, I just, you know, I had to get in here, man, before I go downstairs, waiting on Mama to bust up in here and let them balloons hit in the face, and then I'm gonna light these candles and throw this. I got a sliced peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the table waiting on them. You better believe it, under the candlelight. That's right.
Under the candlelight.
Under the candlelight.
That's what's up, Mr. Bread. That's what's up, Mr. Bread.
You got to take them all the way back to the beginning, Huckleberry Finn. I don't know if you know about that. When we used to wear our pants all the way rolled up, dang to by ankle. You know what I mean? You had to grow in them denim jeans. You know what I'm saying?
You had to grow in them, Mr. Bread.
You had to grow in them. You don't know nothing about that because, you know, they had you were one of, you sound like, you talk like one of the more Catholic, went to the more Catholic schools up north. Real nice private school.
No, Mr. Brett, no, I want that blood.
Baby boy, you sound that. Like you went to one of them Ivy schools. Don't do that now. You sound
Now listen to me. I had parents that we didn't have a lot, but we had what we needed.
Right.
But they gave me the best opportunity to be better than them. So if I sound like an Ivy League dude, I can get real ghetto if I need to, but
No, don't do that now. Don't do that. Don't upset your ancestors. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You can't take it back. You had a great upbringing, I can tell, and you sound like you're a nice gentleman. You know what I mean? Unless I listen at you on Wednesday night on BET show. But that's another whole thing in itself. Baby boy, bread man, one time for your mind. Listen here, man. I just, you know, checking in. I enjoy being on this show. It kind of makes me feel like, you know what I mean? Right now, you know, we got the weather of the north, but we still in the south. And, you know what I mean? It is what it is. I'm just sitting back. Did anybody hear from Chemo tonight? Did anybody hear from Chemo?
No, the Chemo ain't came on. Me and Cadillac was trying. Cadillac had to get off the show for a minute, but we were sitting around talking about the old school races and the new school races. What's the difference in them? Can you give a little insight on that, Mr. Breadman?
I tell you what's the difference. The new school races is faster than the old school races. That's the difference.
Is this Benz? We talking to King Benz?
Well, I'm gonna tell you this.
King Benz.
Hold on, y'all. Let me ask Beers this question. Are you considered a new school racer or old school racer, Mr. Beers?
I'm fast, so I'm considered a new school racer.
Oh, you're a new school racer. So, okay. You're a new school racer. Well, it's funny that the old school racers are the ones that still driving their own cars. I'm going to mute.
I'm not a driver. I'm a jitty boom. I know what I do. When the bill comes, I go in my pocket and pay for it. That's what I do. See, that's the problem with grudge racing. Everybody has their place. I know my place. My place is to pay for my race car, get my chassis guys to work on my chassis, get my tuner to work on the tuner, get dog to drive my car. See, now I understand that what's my role. See, I try to deviate outside my role, and I put it in the wall. Yeah, I'm not going to deviate outside my role no more. I know what I'm supposed to do. That's talk trash and spend money. That's it.
I hear you, Biz.
You're going to drive the street thing.
Let me say this right here. I'm going to say this right here. You may think that's your job, but see, you're just a hired gun, really. You're just somebody that's sponsoring somebody else. I don't have a problem with it, but see, what your problem was is you wanted to outrun everybody in a short amount of time when you should have got your little seat time. See, everybody, just like me, I started out running an 8-0 car in the 8 mile. An 8-0 car. You got to start out small and graduate. But you try to you know what I mean?
And, Breadman, you are absolutely, you know what? You are absolutely correct. Because, see, my mouth ain't going to let me drive no 8-0 car in the 8th of mile. My mouth ain't going to do
that. That's the thing.
Yeah.
To me and you, see, I'm old school. Back in my day, I didn't have to get a bodyguard to slap somebody because I was running my mouth.
That's a different thing. See, when I come into the race game, when I first came in the race game, I had a full, my first car was a full chassis car. A lot of people don't know that. I had a 69 Camaro. The whole front end came off of it. It was an old school chassis car, but it was a chassis car. And Lil Rod was driving. So that's how I came in the game. So I didn't come in the game.
Hey, Biz, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off. You said the A for Matt. So that's the difference between the new school races and the old school races. The old school races won the quarter. The new school races won the A for Matt.
No. It all depends on where you're talking to. Old school races in the South ran 8 miles.
New
school races in the South, old school races in the North ran quarter mile. It all depends on which area you're talking about. 8 miles is 8 miles. South is 8 miles. North,
in the South,
you know,
in the South they ran both. In the South they ran quarter, and some of the shorter tracks they ran, but mostly it was quarter.
I mean?
I'm a quarter mile guy. I'm a quarter mile guy. I just enjoy going to the 8 mile because it saves money.
Hey, y'all hold on for a second. Hold on.
But to answer your question before Biz came in, could you ask the question one more time for me, please, baby boy?
What was the topic of tonight was, what's the difference between the new school, the old school races, and the new school races? Now, can you enlighten me on just the old school, because I know you old school racing.
Okay, I'm going to keep it real with you, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but y'all got to let me free. I got to tell the truth. The truth is school racers came to the track and they ran what they had. They chose their weapon. They came to the track. If they had a small block, they ran a big block. That's what they chose to do. The new school people have started class racing. We have to be in a class in the new school. You got to sit like me. You got to have 28 like me. I got a small block like me. I got two carburetors. You don't. I need this. I need that. These are what the new school racers done started crying, and they done started class racing. That's just the bread man opinion. One time for your
mind. You know what? I'm gonna say this, and I know I'm gonna get a lot of backlash from it, from my Chicago homeboys. Now, it's one guy in Chicago that started that pick your car apart. And what I was told was Fat Eric from the South Side is the first person that he came from down south and started that. You got this. You got that 28. I need a 28. You got a 29. I need a 29. You got an MSD 7531. That's what I gotta have. You got one carburetor. That's the name of the game now. So
hey, Biz. Biz. I don't mean to cut you off one more time.
Now
back in the day. Now back in the day, there's a lot of guys didn't even look under your hood.
True.
So they didn't
look under your hood because they knew that you was crawling, man. These people are flying. You got to stipulate. You got to pay attention to what's going on.
Yes.
That's all.
It's a new era.
Right.
I'm gonna tell you. And you know what? And just because you look under somebody's hood, case in point, when Duck and the Law came up to Chicago 2 years ago, he popped his hood. He popped his hood at 41. Me and Drag went over and looked at that man motor, and the first thing me and Drag said, where the hell he going? That man got a damn 750 double pump on a small block. Where he going? And you see the result of what he did to me after we raced. That man chain leaked me. Just because somebody popped the hood and you look at it, you don't know what's inside that man motor, man. You don't know what the people running, man. That man had a 750 double bumper on a small block, and that man was flying for what he had.
That's right. You got to pick it. And that means, back in the day, we was racing guys. Everybody was at the 30 or maybe at the Grove. Now we racing guys from all over the country. You got to pay attention to what people are doing. That's all.
That's right.
No,
that's right.
You know, people, everybody, man, back in the day, we used to a big tire yeah. with a big block. I had a small yeah. block. Yeah, because you knew that dude was crawling, man. That's all.
Yeah.
Now you can't yeah. tell. You got to check it out.
That's right. And nowadays, you know, it's just a new era, man. You just can't talk to somebody in Alabama and tell them, man, I'll race your car. You don't know nothing about them people. So you got to stipulate that if I'm on this size tire, okay, he can't run but probably this fast because I feel like I'm damn near the fastest. That's why DJ Grant always say, if you're on a 28, I don't give a damn what you got. Because he feel that what he's doing on his 28 ain't too many people in the world doing that. So
exactly.
you got to, because it's a new era, man. We racing. The problem with people, you know, like on Sham's show last night, what people talk about money betting and about getting recognition, it's two type of races now. You got local, you got national. You ain't got to do a whole lot of stuff if you just gonna be a local joker. But if you want to be recognized nationally, you got to bet big pots and you got to race name people. Or people that you feel that you gotta wait, you gotta race with, you gotta race Tony Bynes, you gotta race Tony Wright, you gotta race Butt Naked if you want your name out there. But if you just want to be just an ordinary local joker, just go to your local track and run them, and then you're gonna be known in your little state. But it's two different type of eras now. It's local and national. But ain't no local. Go ahead.
Can I say something, man? Just a pain. I'm gonna be real brief.
Okay.
I just want to say like Breadman said, we raced quarter of a mile down here, man, and we raced people that we knew had flow cars, and we didn't look under their hood. We didn't care about their tires because they was in our era. Y'all did that in Chicago because
right.
they was in your era. But if I brought
right.
a ghost car to Chicago, you wouldn't have just jumped on him with no
hell no.
tire. You'd have been
That's
so
right.
Chicago can't keep saying the South started them to doing this or the South. Man, you got to quit that. To me, if you listen just for a second, man, I still know guys that run the quarter of a mile over here. But y'all, it's a new era. It's a new wave. Everybody's going to the eight to be safe, like Breadman said. But we just, y'all used to come to the track. When y'all came down here, we ran quarter of a mile in Hattiesburg. Man, I knew nothing about no eighth
yes.
of a mile.
Yes.
All our
That's
tracks
true.
Was quarter of a mile just about. We had more tracks than y'all. And we ran quarter of a mile at all the tracks. This just started coming over as a couple of, you know, 5 or 6 years that eight started taking over. And it's just a trend, a new thing that's developing. The South wasn't behind y'all. We were just as far advanced as y'all was. We talk noise just like y'all talk noise. You know, everybody got to quit saying one place made you bad. You turn bad on your own if you feel like it's bad. It's a change
right.
of time. It's a change
it's
of time.
Is.
Ain't nobody
it's
did
it's
that to you.
And that was the topic tonight. What's the difference between old school racers and new school racers? Just don't give all the shout out to new school racers. Listen what I'm saying, bro. I'll let you speak. I just want to speak for a second. I'm going to let you guys go on here. What the topic was what's the difference between old school races and new school races? Now, you define the new school races to the old school races because they laid the foundations for us to be having a show. They paid the way for Mr. Breadman and a whole bunch of older guys that's been having cars that never got out the sport and never, you know what I'm saying, did anything but got older. And now we the young generation, like Ben say. He said it perfectly. It's guys now run the eighth of a mile because it's more wear and tear, it's less wear and tear on your car. So you define the knowledge of the old school and the new school. That's the whole topic, bro. And I'm gonna let y'all go on ahead and finish with talking about what y'all talking about because I'm just hosting the show.
Hey, but check it out. Yeah, check out Hattiesburg. Check out Hattiesburg. When y'all go down to Hattiesburg this year, check out the track. They don't even prep the damn track to the quarter mile no more. We went down there 2 years ago.
2-3 years ago. Hell no. They prepped the 80. They sat there and told guys, don't y'all run quarter mile because the track ain't that good out there. They don't even prep the track quarter mile no more. It's a quarter. Hattiesburg is a quarter mile track, but they don't even sprint all the way through the quarter. You know, so even the track owners that had 41 prepped the hell out of the 8 mile. You get past 800 feet. You start. It looks like a regular street. So
that's true, Ben. That's true.
Even these
damn
track
owners. The change of time.
Change of time.
That's
because
all.
it costs a whole lot more money. It costs double to prep a track 8 miles than the quarter mile than 8 miles. Because they got to use double material, double time, double material.
But
don't
get me wrong though, Biz. But if the guys are into the race. If it's a quarter-mile race, they will prep the track. Same thing in Hattiesburg. Now, the only thing about Hattiesburg, when we go there early in the year like now,
the conditions
is not that good. It's cool out. The ground is wet, the this, the that. So they make do with what they can. Seven, 10 years ago when I used to go there, it was much better. And then if you go there in the middle of the year, they will prep the whole track if it calls for a quarter-mile race.
But what Ben is saying is true though. What Ben is saying because the track ain't—he's saying it wasn't prepped. Even like you said, in this type of weather, it just ain't as prepped as good as it is to the 8. That's what he's saying.
Right.
And that the weather has changed over there in Hattiesburg. I remember when they first stopped the running to the quarter of a mile, they said they're gonna start running to the 8 because of the track, the conditions. It was more of the conditions. When we start this early in the year. But like you say, they still have a quarter of a mile races over there with the slower cars right now. The slower cars can go out the track, out the back door all day long. But they don't prep it for the...
At Pizza Man, 5-10 years ago when we used to go down there, money was flowing better.
That's right. There you go.
Money was flowing. With the old film that they got with Three Love and Leon Rand, Mississippi Joe and them, that was a quarter mile race.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
That was a quarter mile race. Money was flowing. They had money trees back then. You know what? The money trees done grew up now. Grew out. They know. So people not packing those tracks like that, and the tracks not making as much money
as they were back then. And they're doing it. You can rain, and they'll clear that track. It could be raining on the track, and that track could get redid and everything, and you'll be back out there racing back in them days. You're right about that. And it was cool days. All of them one bad day. That money is flowed up, and they don't put it out there like they're supposed to. They just do it to the 8. They cater to 8, and that's what they do.
Yeah, yeah. Biz. Biz, yeah?
Who?
Biz.
Biz, I don't know.
Biz? You call him Biz?
Yeah, is Biz still on the line? Yeah, I'm still here. Hey, Biz, it's Tail. What's up, baby? What's going on, man? And you know what? I agree with you about you know, you guys talking about the old school and new school. Mm-hmm. I think the old school guys just didn't care who they was lining up against. They wanted to race. Sure. And like you said about the stiffs and stuff like that, I think sometimes people try to stiff themselves out of a race than stiff themselves into a race.
Yeah.
You know,
can y'all hear me?
Now, I can't beat you, I'm just going to flat out tell you, look, I can't beat your car. Forget about it. I don't want to race. That's the problem. You real, and the other people, they have an image they want to uphold. So, they're trying to outbet you, or they know you only run the eight mile, so they're going to say, run the quarter mile. Joker, you know before we locked in, you know I ain't running no quarter mile with my car. I ain't ran a quarter mile in 2 years, so why are you going to ask me to run the quarter mile? If I beat you to the eighth, damn it, if you ain't got no pro charger car, I'm going to beat you to the freaking quarter. So what's the difference?
Right. You know, and you guys have cars set up differently.
Yeah. Come on, man.
But I get that. I get that. But I'm not gonna go after somebody in my car, and me on 28. I'm not gonna go want to race a chassis car or a back half car if I got a stock suspension car. To me, that's out of my league. Why am I even gonna sweat? Or you know, even sometimes Eagle gets into it. Now you can't back down. You can't just say, hey, you know what? I don't have you covered. I don't have enough for you. Sorry, you're gonna have to find another Huckleberry. It just ain't gonna be me.
Yeah. But you know, if he in your town and you know he's slow, would you run him then? If he live in your same town and you know that pro mod car, that backhand car, slow as hell, and he's doing the best he can, would you run him then?
Yeah, if I felt that I had a chance.
That's what people ain't realizing when they get on these shows.
If I felt that I had a chance.
Let me tell y'all this. What y'all got to realize, back in the old school days, all the people that was fast, was 90% of them was on big tires. Small tires really wasn't the thing back in the day.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, so that's why everybody raced everybody, because hell, like, everybody was on big tires. But the problem is the small tire technology has grown so fast, whereas you had some of the old school players that still got those big tire cars. The smalls are the smallest tire. 28s are doing what those big tire guys were doing. I mean, they don't surpass them.
And right, I agree.
And that's the only thing I was saying earlier, DJ Fonz. The technology that the new school racers got versus the old school racers, because the technology of racing nowadays.
Yeah, you can't even compare the technology now. And then we're doing more traveling now. I mean, I may be wrong, but I think Chicago went to Mississippi maybe once a year, twice a year. Then they may go down to Memphis and run Bobby Nim, or Bobby Nim come up here maybe once or twice a year. But hell, we traveling more now. We go. Danye made 5 or 6 trips out of Chicago last year. You know, Tony Byers, he make 15 trips a damn year. So the eras are totally different. People are traveling. Yeah, people are traveling now. It's different, you know. So everybody was racing each other back in the day, old school. They knew them. They could go over to their shop and see them putting the motor in their car. They knew who it was. You know, Big Drag knew every damn racer in freaking Chicago, Big Nate and the rest of them. Everybody knew everybody. So
right.
Now, when you travel, you go into a damn track, you don't even know that person, but you want to run them. So you got to stiff it.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Biz? It's like when you get to the stiffing and stuff like that, and you stiff a guy so bad and you win, did you really win?
That's where
the ego comes in. Race my car the way my car is. That if you really want to race,
well,
if you want
that's what you said. I mean, that's what it kind of boiled down to. It all depends on how bad you really want to race. I mean, I don't like no gimme race. You know, now if somebody is just that stupid and just gonna give you everything, you know, this and that, they'll take it. You know, that's
right.
When I say stiff,
I don't mean take nothing off. I don't mean take your wheelie bars off. When I say stiff, I got a small block, you got a small block. I got one carburetor, you got one carburetor. Yeah. You got nitrous, I got nitrous. That's the stiff I'm talking about. I ain't talking about you got a 29, I got a 28, give me the brake. Not that type of stiff. No, I'm just talking about, you know, we running basically same setups.
Apples for apples.
I want to say this right here
to a comment I heard earlier. How you doing, DJ, by the way?
What's up, Brett?
I want to ask, how do y'all feel that things are different now with the technology? Let me ask y'all a question. When was the first time y'all ever heard of someone putting nitrous on their car? What year was it?
I'll tell you right now, out here in California, Mike Thermos, the guy who invented it, was 1978.
Okay, now think about it now. We just started getting foggers and stuff like that we're applying to the new applications, okay? 1978. When was the last time y'all seen someone run their car on the motor? Actually run their car on the motor? Really?
Last year.
My car's on the motor. My car's on the motor.
Last year, it's few
and far between.
What's my man out of Kentucky? G-Shot was on the motor. Tony Bynes with Bojack was on the motor.
One more question. When did the fuel injection come out? Look at how far we're still behind the eight ball. We 25 years behind. If you got a carburetor on your car, you 25 years behind technology.
But Brent, man, you know, if you take the same motor and everything and put fuel injection on it, put a carburetor on it, carburetor makes more power.
It does.
If you got the same application, if you got the same small block Chevy, same crank, same rods, all that, same head, and you take fuel injection and you take the carburetor going to make more power.
It might make more power. You're going to spend more money changing plugs and this and that. You're spraying the car now.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know where you're getting your information from, but to me it's not correct. You know what I mean? Fuel injection.
It's guaranteed correct.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's
my,
y'all...
My buddy. Hey, Bird, my buddy lost a tenth. He lost a tenth doing the swap.
All I'm telling you is
fuel injection.
That's because it's true. The bread man is right. If you got a fuel injection car, it can make more power than a carburetor car. That's a fact too. It's who you fill. It's who fill your car.
I heard different.
I know it might be true to what you're doing and where you at. That means whoever doing it don't know how to make it happen that way. But I know guys all in Orlando and everywhere, and DJ, you know I know, and everybody that changed over the fuel injection, they picked up. They threw the carburetor away. They picked up. And DJ, you went from carburetor to fuel injection. How you like it?
Are you talking about nitrous, or are you talking about forced induction?
I thought you were just saying, I can't talk on the nitrous then.
Yeah, you talking about flow through and
that's
then
right.
fuel
yeah,
injection.
That's what I'm talking
hell
about.
No, that's true. Flow through.
Okay.
No, not flow
okay.
through. I'm talking about naturally aspirated or not.
I can't argue with that one, Ben. You're right. You got me on that.
I'm talking about fuel injected.
What is your power additive?
Fuel injection with nitrous.
I disagree. We're going to have to do some research. We can get an engine builder on next Friday, a knowledgeable engine builder, and put them to the test.
Who was the other car? Not to put his business out, but there's a car right there in Chicago everybody fears. It's called Fade to Black. Fuel injected. Y'all better know who y'all up there with, and nobody want to see Donye at all up there in the north.
Nobody in Chicago want to see Donye. Ain't nobody in Chicago got the cubic inches down yet. You know what I mean? You know,
education, fuel injection. Don't sit up here and he outrun some of y'all turbo boys up there.
Yeah, he will. Go ahead.
Now, what's the difference? Now, you tell me the difference. A guy got 760 something inches, 700.
I'm gonna try and get Harold Martin on the show, y'all. I'm trying to get in touch with him now. But if you guys can, go to Harold Martin or call him, and he will help you with the fuel. He was the one who designed the fuel injection. He's here in Michigan, in Wixom, Michigan. Now I'm trying to try and get him on the line now for you guys.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
They ain't ready for Harold Martin.
Hold on. I'm gonna say this. If you get Harold Washington or Harold whoever Martin on the phone and he fuel injection, then get a carburetor man on the phone that's deal with a carburetor, because he gonna lean towards carburetors and your man Harold gonna lean towards fuel injection. So you got to get, then you're going to have to find the middle.
Then you're going to have a fight.
Hold on a minute. Let me ask you all a question. Harold Martin been racing longer than all of us, right? He started out a carburetor. What made him invent the throttle body, the fuel injection, was for him to look for power. It's here, y'all. It's here, y'all. We behind the eight ball. It's simple as that. I don't have a fuel injection motor, so I'm behind the eight ball. It is what it is. Why is everybody going turbo?
You're talking about power. That's the bread, man. That's where we differ from. We're not talking about you're talking about the power additive. Yeah, free horsepower is the damn turbo. It makes endless power. We're not talking about the turbo. We're talking about naturally aspirated, which is on balls, or nitrous. Which one will make more power? A fuel injected motor on nitrous or
old school or new school? We're talking about old school.
Biz, I want to say this to Bread Man. Hey, this is Bobby Wildchild. I want to say this. I'm not saying that the fuel injector make more horsepower, but as we all know, the pro stock run carburetors on a 500 cubic inch motor.
And that's
so
why I was
I'm
trying
just
to
saying,
keep
you, bro. Yeah, 500 cubic inch motor making anywhere from 1,300 to 1,500 horses. Now I'm not saying that they hadn't, but Brad, when you're saying that they 25 years behind, they can't be because you know pro stock is keeping up with time. So, you know, so you gotta watch that one when you're saying we behind time. They just the carburetors are bigger. You got what the pro system carburetor, which one flap now that moves more air, all this kind of stuff. So the carburetors still they're just improving them even more. But I wouldn't say that you're 25 years behind. Because you know pro stock going to be on top of that. I think Warren Johnson tried to go with fuel injected, but, hey, they couldn't get to do what they wanted to do, so they went back to the carburetors.
Now, when you're talking that damn turbo and supercharger and you got to go with that blow-through hat, no, fuel injection is the way to go. But when you talk about nitrous and naturally aspirated, it's carburetor, hands down.
And that's what I was trying to ask, Biz. If I got a 700-inch motor and you got a 500-inch motor and I run on motor and you spray your car and we got the same type of car and I got an NHRA step motor. Just say, for instance, I got an NHRA step motor and I got it tuned right and I'm fucking around and get away from you. You got all this. You got all the. You got more cubic inches than I got, and you got nitrous to help you get out of track, and I still whoop you. Now, do that make any sense?
Hold on. Who blowing the nitrous? The 500 cubic inch motor?
No, the 700 cubic inch motor.
So I'm blowing nitrous with a 700 cubic inch motor, and you run it with a 500 cubic, and you run it on nuts.
On motor, on Stamoski, baby.
And I'm a beat, and we got the same type of cars, and they weigh the same. I'm gonna beat the hell out of you. There's no way you can win.
I don't think so. That motherfucker. I think that motherfucker that NHRA car. That motherfucker gonna print. He gonna print too high. He gonna lead too high.
Hold on. You just said we got the same car. You just said we got the same car. He don't understand what's going on.
That's not how it's going to work. You know, the NHRC, you can compare. I understand what you're trying to say, but that's not right, see, because you're
that's
giving Biz too much.
That's not
you're giving Biz too much with the motor, 700 cubic inches, and 90. He's making just as much, if not more, horsepower as you are. See, like you're saying, NHRA motor can make 1,300 to 1,500 horsepower, but that motor you just gave me is making the same thing, you know. So he gonna put a package on you.
Hey, Will, check this out. As an example, I don't care how y'all look at it. I've been racing since the 70s, and I came up from racing. If you look at 10 years ago, Chuck Samuels was the fastest car in 29. A back half car with fuel injection, man. The man came out with fuel injection. Then he was the first man, went 6 seconds. on a lift high. That shows you right there, man. Fuel injection is faster. Pat Musi, Mike Moran, all them guys start coming with that fuel injection. But Chuck and Sandy made it with a little tap. These guys come with big tap.
Yeah, but what's their power out of them, Leon? What's their power out of them? What are their power out of them?
Nitrous with fuel injection.
I thought it was one of those Zeus blowers.
No, as a matter of fact, Chuck Sanders got kicked out of NMCA because he had a 396 cubic inch motor can go 690 on a 29 inch tap.
See, I didn't want to say that. I'm glad you brought that out because I'm not going to tangle with my big brother, my Uncle Bobby Wildchild. I'm not going to tangle with him, but I'm going to stand by what I said. If you're still running a carburetor, you're 25 years behind. Why are they still running four-speed cars in NHRA, Bobby Wildchild, when people don't even drive four speeds around town right now? I mean, they still got a automatic and super stock. You know what I mean? They still have these nostalgia stuff going on in pro stock. Those cars
hey,
are like
hey, Brad Van. What about Jim Lynch has the best of the best, all the technology money could buy, and that damn vet, and he had the other boy that came up. What's the boy came up to 41?
Billy Glenn.
Let y'all talk. Billy Glenn come up there with some backyard jump with a carburetor and put it on Kim Lynch. So I just beg to differ when it comes to fuel injection and carburetor.
I also see Billy Glenn come to Phoenix City with a small block and fed Mike Hill his lunch in Phoenix City. Mike Hill was sitting there looking like, which way did he go?
I'm going to say this too. Chuck Daniels took that 396 small block and whooped Billy Glenn down in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And they disqualified him in St. Louis because they said his motor was too small. And he's the first one that came out with that. Then Mike Moran with connections with Big Pass, with Pro Street.
I guarantee you that Chuck Samuel, if they kicked him out, he was doing something illegal, running methanol, running alcohol, doing something. He wasn't running no pure gasoline.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
And this is going back a little ways. I mean, we're talking about 25 years, but let's go back a little further to 1957. I know we're talking about a stock motor, but fuel injection came out in the 57 Chevy and the Corvette, and they went away from it.
I know technology, but they went away from it. They never even went back to it again.
All their big high horsepower motors that came out in the late 60s, so they all came out with carbon. They never tapped into fuel injection again. And that was the conventional fuel injection where you had the pump on and everything. So I'm just saying, you know, I think it was tried. But I also believe this, though, too. It's going to come down to your tuner. If you know a guy that can tune fuel injection, he's gonna find horsepower. The same with the carburetor. I think it's just easier with the carbs. I would never fuel injection wouldn't even be an option for me because I haven't really seen it work as well as a carburetor.
Hey Kale, everybody, this is Kim. I was trying to get Harold Martin on, but I can't get in touch with him. Tail, do you have CPR's number? Text it to me if you do. I know they switched to fuel injection. Maybe we can get them to chime in on this one. If you do have
I can tell you they've had nothing but problems.
Chuck Samuel would be the best man to call that because he's got all that.
Anybody? Hey, Leon, if you got Chuck's number, text it to me, and I'll try and get him on the show. Hey, I got something real simple that all of us know.
I can get it. I'm gonna call Greg and get it. I'm gonna have Chuck call the show right now.
All right, yeah, get him on. Check, this is real simple. When we racing LS1 cars, we're scanning them as out on the street running LS1 cars. If one got the if one LS1 car has the plastic intake, fuel injected, but if one come up with a carburetor on there, which one you betting on? If you got just a simple LS1 motor, one, both of them stock, but one that took the plastic intake off, put an intake on there with a carburetor, which one's gonna make more horsepower?
Carburetor.
Oh well, that's no business, right? I'm gonna tell you that right now. If you go to Hot Rod, not Hot Rod TV, you go to it's called Motor Trend, and they have a show where these guys talk about it, and they did it business right. I'm not gonna tell you that. They took a stock LS7 motor against the other one, and the carburetor motor didn't make no more horsepower than what the fuel injected one did. Now they changed the camshaft in it, and the carburetor made more horsepower. But Biz is, I would have to agree with Biz on that one. Yeah,
this will make 50 to 70 horsepower more.
Yeah, if you go to YouTube, look at Motor Trend, and you'll see these two guys. I think the name of the show is called Roadkill, not for sure, but you guys look it up, and those guys are really good. They're from High Rod Magazine. They got some really good articles that they got. They do videos on it, and they did do that. They took an LS7, like Biz said. They had a fuel injection one, and they did one with a carburetor. And they'll show us. So you guys, you know, even if you guys online now.
All I had, there was a man came and fueled and jacked and went in a second. And ever since he did that, Mike Moran came right behind him and did it with a Post Street car. And then on so on and said,
I forgot about Mike Moran. I forgot I got Mike's number. Hold on, you guys. I think I can touch with Mike. Let me call a friend of mine.
But don't Mike Moran run turbos and Zeus chargers?
But it's all fuel injected, Biz.
I have no problem with that. We're talking about naturally aspirated motors or nitrous motors with fuel injection. We're not talking about force induction. Force induction gonna make more power. Period.
You want fuel injection. If you're gonna run a blower, definitely. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, we're talking about horsepower. We're talking about horsepower motors that's running naturally aspirated or nitrous. Which one would make more power? We're not talking about superchargers, turbos, force induction. But then you get into what you get into with the intercoolers, put ice in the car. No, we're not talking about that. We know that make more power.
We know we're not talking about that. I'm talking about fuel injected with the big stuff, you know what I mean, boxes or the Holley Xboxes,
yeah,
fuel injected
true.
With nitrous. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all
hey,
talking
hey,
about
Brad, man.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, Brad, man, let's do it this way and see if let's say you got Sonny Leonard, which a lot of us somewhat can't afford him, then you take Pat Musi. Pat Musi and Harold Martin had to go to court because they were arguing over something was going on. End up, Harold Martin won. So, but you guys are right. I think Biz said it right. Biz said that if you're going to run force induction, fuel injection is the way to go. Carbureted motor. You know what, guys? I'm gonna work on this for y'all. Let me see.
Call drag. Drag didn't mess with it all. Call drag.
All right. Let me try and see if I can get drag. Hey, Leon, see if you can get drag on for a quick second. If not, I'm gonna try and see who.
I'll call drag. Hold on a minute. I'll call big drag. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Hey, Biz.
We got a wealth of knowledge right there. Yes, sir.
Hey, Biz. Not to open up a can of worms, but wasn't drag's car carbureted?
Yes.
I'm kind of liking a little noise, and I can talk a little bit better when I get on the outside. But you can bet if there's any way that Pro Stock could make fuel injection work better, you better believe they'll have it on. Them guys trying everything.
What's the name of the game in that class, man? Those guys are tweaking as much as they can.
Right, and they're going to find everything they can. If it's fuel injected or whatever, they're going to – if they could – make it work and make more horsepower, they're going to use it. They wouldn't use
okay,
the copperweight. That's why I'm just saying the difference when Breadman saying the copperweight is 25 years behind. I mean, I don't agree with that because, you know, the copperweight is not more improved, more. You remember a long time ago, you used to buy a copperweight out the box, you had to twist it 1,100 times to get it an hour. But now when you put a copperweight on the car, right now, it just sits there an hour, you know, just straight out the box. So I'm just saying.
I think the drivers in that class, if they thought in pro stock, they thought they can go quicker with fuel injection, it already been done.
Yeah, they already have it. They were already
that's
have
not
it.
True. That's
well,
not true. The class,
that's not true.
I mean,
I don't agree to that. Dude. I'm with you. Why they don't have it? Then? Why they don't have it?
What class they got an NHRA with turbos, Uncle Bobby? What class they got an NHRA to run turbo cars?
You talking about the pro?
No. Any class. He said any class.
But they run turbo cars. They won't allow.
You know what? If you look at the pro mod, they have a problem with the turbo. If they can never get it down pipe, oh yeah, it's gonna be a bad boy. But like I say, once again, that's force. You're talking about the difference between force. You got difference between talking about force when you got pistons really pulling in the air on your engine, when versus air is being forced into an engine.
Hey, do y'all think
I can answer that question about the turbo. And when I was driving a funny car in the early 80s, there was actually a funny car that came out with a turbocharged motor. And the problem was the car just didn't, when the light dropped green, the car was just too lazy off the line.
Right.
And they ran it for the 1 year. The car ran good. Once it got going, I mean, the car ran great.
Right.
But as far as being consistent, the car just wasn't consistent enough to run an HRA in stop fuel. You know, I think it was in 84, because that's when Billy Myers, they were experimenting with nitrous oxide on the cars. I know some of the young bucks might not remember that, but Billy Myers was winning races left and right and then they went away from it because it got too costly. You guys were grenading motors on every pass.
Breadman still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm right here. Here go the Breadman.
I just pulled up on the computer, and it said worldwide that the it's just like you said. Now, I'm just saying what the computer said. I don't know. I'm like you. Hey. But the computer just said that worldwide that fuel injection makes more horsepower than copperweight. I asked it in three different ways, and it said, with the nitrogen, turbo, or whatever. And it said worldwide.
Ask you one question. Said, are you on Google page or are you on Yahoo? Because that makes a difference to the listeners. Make sure that you're getting your information from the Google website. I read a lot and I pay attention, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I started spending money, I started realizing those would be the best place to spend my money at. Believe you me, when you have a little bit of money like I do, I'm going to pay close attention to how I can get the most horsepower for my buck. I'm not saying that I'm right about anything, but I did tell y'all we are behind. I know it because I've been talking to the gurus of engine building, and I'm just being real.
Another thing, though, Brad, though, what you got to realize, and that may be true worldwide, but if the majority of the people that's out here that's running – And the people that can tune and get you dialed in, if most of them are running carburetor, and then you jump on a few injectors that are not, a lot of people don't really got that much knowledge of,
you
can still be spinning your wheels.
Well, let me say this right here, DJ Grant. How many tuners we got in the South right now know how to do a power grid box?
Not many.
Okay, then. So what are you saying? I mean, I'm just
No. What I'm saying is you said you're doing something with a little bit or limited amount of bucks. Okay, you're going to have to search out that tuner that can tune that fuel injection. And if you do search him out, he probably ain't going to be cheap. He's probably going to be very far from you. Whereas if you go carbureted, depending on, because you got people that's going very, very fast that don't need no fuel injection. So, I mean, why spend the extra? I mean, the other thing is it's very costly to go fuel injection.
It's really, to be honest, man, I work on a Pro Mod team with a fuel injection motor, man, right now.
Okay.
And I've been dealing with it now for a while. That's how I know so much about it, to keep everybody.
Oh, okay.
I've been
working
on a team that has I have a fuel injected motor, nitrous. And I'm telling you, we can't even hone all the power up. It is way powerful.
Okay, that makes all the difference in the world of what I'm saying. You already connected to what you need. Okay, I got you.
I didn't want to put that out there because it might mess up when I want to lock Biz's car in and let dog drive it or something. It might mess me up. You know what I mean? So I don't portray to know everything. Red man
well,
gonna keep
all,
being dumb.
All the reason I said that, I want y'all to lock in
when I come out. That's all I'm saying.
All the reason I said I just didn't want, you know, you might have listeners that, well, she's red messing up. They might try to go fuel injection.
Why are so many engine builders, when you see these 900 cubic inch motors or 1,000 cubic inch motors, I want to ask you a question. Why aren't they fuel injection?
Enter your last name and touch enter.
Hey, Biz.
They got 905 cubic inches.
Go ahead. And they got carburetors on them.
Tell me why. I want to ask that question,
hey,
Greg, man.
Hey, guys.
Somebody got some extra going on.
Yeah, we're going to take care of real quick. There it goes.
Okay. What is that background noise?
Yeah, who's ever talking, we don't mute nobody's mic. If you're not talking, can you please mute your mic, please? Ralph from Chicago,
Bobby.
Your mic is open. No
Bobby
problem, bro.
Bobby had a question. Go ahead, Bobby.
I said the question.
I'm going to queue in a little bit. I don't want the noise to interrupt your conversation. Okay, just mute your mic. That's cool. All right.
That noise is interrupting.
He's in the private room, baby boy. He's in the private room.
Okay, hold on. Bro, I'm going to put your private room. Mr. B is on right now. Mr. B? Are you there?
Hey, how's it going, yeah? Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Mr. B, want to chime in on this one?
Hey, what's up, DJ Glenn and the crew? I heard Biz and a few more guys were making some statement about carburetor versus injection, and it's funny that that's the topic tonight because I just had a discussion with my engine builder here last week about that, and he's one of the best in the country. And the conclusion to that is that carburetors have came so far up the ladder now until they truly not. I don't know what Bread Man is doing, but carburetors are not behind injectors no more. A car that runs a good ET with the injector is about going to run that same ET with the carburetor. It's just they're not behind no more. Someone made a statement earlier said you take a carburetor out of the box and just put it on, and that's a fact. It's no longer all this twisting and changing. You don't do that now. You know, and I am one of the best engine builders in the country that do my work for me. And this is a topic we discussed just last week. I'm like, hey, Brad, I'm not going to expose that. I'm going to keep that to myself right now.
But a couple of them out there that really deal with, but see, what I want to ask, Bobby had a question. I want to answer Bobby's question. His thing is, anybody that got something for sale is going to, if Sonny Leonard got a lot of good technology, and if he going to build a 900 or something cubic inch motor, and say it's going to run fast, fine. 500 cubic inches with the big stuff on it, I mean, who knows what it'll run. I would love to see it. But it's one guy that had fuel injected in Pro Stock. I'm going to pull it up, who it is. I got it in here in a National Dragster somewhere.
Well, I can tell you one guy that did it. I can tell you one guy that did it in 87. He ran the IHIA because NHIA wouldn't allow him to run. He's a person friend of mine. He got named Buddy Ingersoll.
Buddy Ingersoll, that's his name. You're right. They kicked him out
of
NHRA. Why? Because he
right.
Was
I can tell you the whole scoop on that. Here's the scoop on that. Is that he was a beer lover, which I'm a beer lover, so you know I know the man. Any guy told that man he had to stay on the 270 cubic inches. He put 258 cubic inches together, and he had 20 turbos. Now, I heard a guy say earlier he wouldn't leave. Well, Brothers put out a better six than Bob Griffin was putting down. So he caught a reason. It's just that it would give up. It wouldn't give up. It just didn't have a mile an hour to hold out on the big end in the IHIA because he had 258 inches, and he was running against 700 cubic inches. Now, NHIA told him he could raise it as long as he stayed under 270, but when he put the car together, they indexed and indexed and indexed the lap.
Can I ask a question? Okay, well, this is what I want to know. We know we got Gene Fullerton, Sonny Leonard. We got Rhea Morrison and a whole bunch of old, other engine builders. 905 cubic inch motor. Well, I want to know the question to Brett, man. Well, why are they not putting fuel injection on their engines? All the engines that you see are being built. I mean, every time I look in the catalog, every time I see the splits on them or two carburetors. You tell me. I haven't seen, you know, you don't see a whole variety of fuel injected engines. And I'm pretty sure they're trying to make much more power as they can. So I'm just asking the question.
Did you keep that message just broke the record with the fuel injection with that big inch motor he got? They just shorted on YouTube today.
Well, let me say this, guy. Some of those guys, they can make more power than they advertise. They advertise a safety zone power. You know, if I sell you an engine and I tell you a whole car, and I tell you a car guaranteed to run 950. Well, I say I probably built a 920 with them. And that's what they do with those engines. They say they have a insurance factor with those engines when they build them like that.
Well, all I'm saying is...
But let me say this, yeah, and I got to get back to work. But let me tell B.S. this, too. Hey, B.S., yeah, I heard you say several times that it's a proof of fact that in forced air makes more horsepower than carburation does. It's more to it than just forced air. See, we're taking, put a turbocharger on, taking, put injectors on, and things going to go fast. It's a combination that makes the horsepower. It's not just that one piece. Because 200 miles an hour is 200 miles an hour.
But it's a known fact that these turbo cars, they're not even using all their power. We got these turbo cars that's making with 28-inch tires, making 2,200 horsepower. They ain't putting no 2,200 horsepower down.
They're not using it all.
What they're doing is 2,200 horsepower. They ain't going to do nothing but blow the tires off with 28 or 29 on it.
Exactly.
In a case like that, Biz, in a case like that, what they're doing is that they can't use all their horsepower off the line. When they get in high gear, they use every inch of it. And they're only fooling themselves, and I've said this to you guys before, they're only fooling themselves with these small tires. It's just the trend that we're going through right now.
They're not using that whole 2,200 horsepower.
Yeah, they're putting everything down the big end, bitch. When they get the big end, they're putting everything down there. Ain't nothing left.
It can be done.
You know, I talked to Buddy, It's funny, like I said, you got to admit that, but I talked to Buddy myself several times. We talk all the time. And he was getting everything he could get in the 660. See, he wanted everything right there. They have a turbo car, a twin turbo.
A twin turbo with twin 88s can make up to 22 to 25 horsepower. Yeah, exactly. And they're not using it all in the eighth of mile, in 660. They're not using it all.
Well, I tell you what. I tell you what you do. Go to YouTube now and punch in GS Club of America and watch this, I believe it, I can't pronounce his name, D'Angelo, somebody like that. But he's got a Gary Duckwilder working on the car. Watch him read the line. Watch what he do at the 8th, and watch what he do at the back door and tell me he's not a plan at all.
Okay, well, check this out.
That's a 660 car.
You got a nicest car that's running a 480, but it's only making 1,000 horsepower on the motor and shooting about 400. That's 1,400 horsepower. Then you got a turbo car that's running 480, but it's capable of making 2,200 horsepower. There's no way in hell they putting all that horsepower down in 8th of a mile. They ain't doing it.
It's going to always be a matter of opinion.
Most of the time, they ain't putting it down in the water either.
When they get out of that BB, they're down there. They get all they can get down there when they get on that BB. When they get at the end of the 8th, they get all they can get down there. There's nothing left. Whatever's left can't get down. That's the only thing that's left. Whatever's left, it can't get down. Everything they can get down is down.
Hey, guys, I got to get back to work myself. Coming up on 9:30, and the boss man looking at me real crazy, want me to clock in early. So, hey, I enjoy speaking with y'all. I look forward to seeing y'all next Friday right here on the Cadillac Joe Show. This is the Bread Man, one time for your mind. Y'all enjoy yourself. Happy Valentine's Day. One time.
Hey, see you, Bread Man.
Hey,
B. What's that,
B? B.
Yeah, man.
Did somebody say DJ last name was Bonds? Did I mention that earlier?
Did somebody say what?
Did they say DJ Bonds? Welcome to the show, DJ Bonds.
Hey,
I'm just trying to figure it out.
No,
is Lateral Kid
on? Oh, okay, man. I was wondering if you changed that.
I don't think so. Like I said, we just lost a fellow drag race on the west side of Chicago Wednesday evening by the name Big Chester. We just want to give a shout out to his family, and we just appreciate him because he was here and we enjoyed him, and he made his transition. So I just want to give a shout out to Big Chester and his family. And this is baby boy, and we gonna be here with you, and we love you, bro. So who we got on? DJ, you gone? Biz, you gone?
Nah, I'm here.
I think DJ's still here. I think Biz is. Hey, baby boy, is Kid on?
Nah, I don't think Kid on. Uncle Larry on. I didn't hear him earlier.
I heard about Chester last night, but I got a call last week that says Carter had lost his son, and I haven't heard anything about it. I wonder, was it any truth to it?
Yeah, I heard about
it
last Saturday also.
Yeah, but I haven't talked to anyone to tell me whether it was for real, you know, for truth or not.
Yeah, it was the truth, you know. My aunt got big. Yeah, it was true.
Yeah. Another 40-year friend of mine. Hate that.
Yeah, man. So, you know how that go, man.
Yeah.
We live this life. As long as we live this life, we must perish this life. So that's why I want everybody,
yeah,
you know, to get along and grow as race. And then, you know, and that's the only thing I was trying to tell the boy BET the other night. He was telling me that
Don't even go there.
I'm leaving it alone.
Hello.
Hello?
So what? You see what the turbo guys is, or you just get him a break?
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, okay. Now you say he'll be with us less than a minute.
Yeah.
Now, was he done? Yeah, I was asking, are you done with turbo cars, or are you just giving him a break for now?
Both natural herbs and spices are
at the
bottom. You
there, Ben? Ben
have left the building.
Hello? Like Ben have left the
building.
Like Ben
left the building.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
I was just listening.
No, this is somebody just been listening. I just wanted to chime in. I know it's a little late after you guys was talking about fuel injection as opposed to carburetors. I had asked one of the engine builders that I frequently talk to. I don't know if you guys are aware of him, Tony Bischoff.
I think. Most people heard
of him.
Yeah,
we know him a bad boy.
Yeah, I was asking him, what is the difference from carburetor and fuel injection? You know, he told me once, you know, for as between the carburetor and fuel injectors, once you get two carburetors on your motor, depending on how much horsepower it's making, after a certain point, you can't put more fuel going through the quarter on the other end as you can with fuel injection. Fuel injection, you can add more fuel as you in increments as you go down the quarter, which you can unlimited fuel that you can add to the car. I mean to the motor than you can with a carburetor. Carburetors, it just puts it in, you know, you and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
On what he was telling me, I only listened to so much. You know, I was just trying to get a little feel of what's the difference between the two, but I was told by him you can add more fuel on the other end where the car might or where the motor might want more on the top end when you're pushing in more air.
Well, I'm going to say this. Now, listen to this very carefully. I think everyone on the station knows. DJ, you still there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay, I think everyone here know about your big drag car, right? Did anyone see the mile out of that car right here? It's like 212 mile an hour, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. How many guys you know out here got a fuel injected car that's running that fast?
They got them out here like that.
How many you know out here that's running that fast?
Yeah, but Big Drag ran in the NMCA race, and he was one of the slowest guys out of there, the ones that had the fuel injection. But he was still dialing his car in, too.
True, but the question is, how many guys you know out here that got injected cars that's running faster than 212 mile an hour?
Hey, I ran 205 with a single carburetor, and I pulled the chute before I got to the quarter. That was with a single carburetor.
All right.
If you don't believe it, go on YouTube and look at it.
See, injection is just the newest thing. It's a new twist to an old game, is all it is. They've been around. Now, show something. Like I was telling you guys earlier, when Buddy ran a 730, I think, in 87 with the little V6 beer, that engine was back in the 40s. They couldn't make the power out of it. So he kicked the curb and kept working on it. It came back in 84. 85, they didn't make any power. 86, they discovered they need an intercooler. They did anything, that's fine. Well, most of that ball grand national thought it was something new, but it really was a new game with an old twist. An old game with a new twist, rather. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Injectors are not new. There's nothing new to them. They've been around. And if NHRA thought it was the way to go, they would allow pro stocks to do it. I believe pro stocks would, but I don't think they're going to really make no more power with it.
That was the question earlier. For the old school, the new school, y'all school, and everybody that's on the phone about carburetors and injectors. So that means that we making this this show roll tonight because we getting
all
somewhere
right,
with
what happened to Big Drag? What happened to Big Drag? I thought somebody was getting him on.
You know what? Couldn't get. Let me try. But I see. Gotta get him on the horn now.
All right.
Yeah, good.
I'm just curious when you guys were talking about when Drag was still testing and tuning his car. His car went 212, but when he was out there, everybody was running faster than him. What mile an hour were the injected cars running at that time?
They talking about last year, and I don't know what somebody made a couple of bad statements, but I let it go. But Drag was right there. His Drag car was flying.
Okay, it's ringing, but he's not picking up. He might be out with his kids. Rick. Hey, what up, Rick? These guys want you to call the show, man. They want to ask you something about, I guess, in reference to your car. They're discussing the carburetor versus injection. They want to know, can you call
me?
Hey,
Mr. B. Hey, Mr. B.
Yes, sir.
If he's on right now, Mr. B, he can go ahead and talk. He's on your line. He's on your line right now,
Rick?
Mr. B.
Give me about 10 minutes, D.
Okay, 10 minutes, call me back.
Call me back
okay.
In 10 minutes.
All right.
He said, give him 10 minutes, I'll call him back.
I think the question, maybe you should ask Drag, when he comes on, is ask him, why did he go to carburetors instead of fuel injection? And then maybe he might know something.
Is it a personal difference?
Just ask him.
I'm going to answer that for you. Come on.
Hey, if the money was there, Greg would have went to fuel injection. I already know that.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, Leon. I think it's a money issue and he's a new carburetor. I know what to do with these, and it's a money fact. I think I can answer that for him.
The money was there.
You know, and that could be a reason why
a lot of guys out here, man, that's going to injection and they're going back to their conversion.
Right.
Well, I tell you,
a lot of guys are doing it.
It's all in the tuning. If you ain't got a good tuning, yeah, you're going to go back to carburetor. But if you've been raised.
That's like the young man was saying a few minutes ago. He said, you're going down the track and you can add more fuel to it.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah. Yes, you can. Well, it don't always burn it. It costs, but we don't always need it. You know? So, it's, like I said, man, I got one of the best engine builders in the country, and he swears that it's really not different than him. And so far, ET has proven to me that it's really not a difference than him. You got guys that are flying with carburetion, they flying with the injectors.
Well, the injection is a fuel injection responds faster than the carburetor. It really does. That's a proven point there. If you know what, I ain't got his number. I tell you, somebody will tell you off the back, Tony Chris. We just got it all.
Bud got his number. Everybody got Bud's number.
Because he had a bigger motor.
And truly, I think that's where the response is coming from the size of the engine, not from the carburetion. Because I really don't – now, don't get me wrong, guys. I'm not a carburetion man, so I'm really out of my league. But I just don't see how in the hell an injector can respond faster than a carburetor. I see them running carburetor down, but I don't see how it responds fast. I've never seen it.
I can see it responding faster, but like you say, once again, it's kind of like forced. It's forced into it, but you got to remember too. Now, carburetors done come a long way. I mean, I used to have a like I said, the 1250 on it. It's called HP out of the box. Then I went with the Pro system. I mean, that carburetor spun a whole lot faster than I could even imagine. Well, if you're done in the bracket racing, which me and Brad Man used to do a lot, and they call matting the car, you didn't want to mat your car if you got a car. Just say. Normally, my car, if I be running somebody, my dial in would be like a 478, and they throw a mile. Another guy, I got to run a guy that running, you know, God knows, which I hate it. He dial a 715. Well, I wouldn't sit there and mat that car because I'm sitting there going, boop, 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 you know, up on the two step. So what you would normally do
you know, with the 12 feet of hollow, when I hit it, sometimes it would just go whoop, whoop. Y'all seen that, you know, as a stomach. But with the new copperator now, they had, you can wait and you can let that thing and bam, it responds just that quick. So then, you know, you were able to go, you know, hunt the guy down. So I'm saying the new copperator, they respond. They're not like the old one now. These things respond. You got that pro system. I can't think of the name of the other copperator, but these copperators respond a whole lot quicker than they used to. And then I'm not saying they can't put more fuel on the other end, but if I'm sitting here running a 632, and I ran, you know, like you're saying, 205, you know, I mean, I didn't burn up anything, but I'm saying, but I just got a single copperator on a 632 and was running that. So, I mean, I'm not saying they don't make much, but it's kind of hard because I still believe that if it were possible, Pro Stock would have them on them cars if them things were that much more effective than a copperator.
Hey, Bobby, how many fuel injections have you seen kick out the carburetor in the intake? I don't know now, but the carburetor is good for that when you get too much fuel and that nitrogen down in there. That fuel injection ain't going to do that. I ain't seen that. I never took no fuel injection off or took the whole intake off. But a carburetor would do that.
Go ahead, Taylor had a comment.
You know, I was just curious. I know it's a different application and everything, but NASCAR a couple of years ago went over to fuel injection. I mean, have those cars gotten faster from the carbureted, or are they just more efficient?
I think that's what it is, because you ain't going to fit about no 2015 Cadillac STS with no carburetor on it. You're going to buy 2014 or 15 STS with a fuel injector, more fuel efficient, make more power, and things of that nature. Because the old school had carburetors. You had, when it got cold outside, you had to pat them cars to get some gas up to the bowl of the carburetor. You ain't got to pat no car nowadays. You can just turn the key, turn the fuel pump on, get some gas up there to the line and turn it over.
Yes, sir. I agree with you 100%.
You're talking about a family car. You're talking about a family car. So, you know, a family car is totally different. You're not talking about a family car that the fueling, that's for, like you say, better or gas efficient. But you're not talking about him trying to run it wide over horsepower. I mean, I'm just saying, it's a lot better. Yeah, I mean, back in the day, yeah, you're right. You better pat it, because you wasn't gonna crank. So,
Bobby, I got a question for you, sir. We know you've been racing for years, and we're not gonna say what you said. I'm not gonna say what you said, but you said that particular motor you had in your car. I mean, was you really lean on that motor?
632.
Okay, sir. That's 632. Was you really leaning on that motor to get that? I mean, did you see more success with a lower cubic motor, bigger cubic motor, or you just really enjoyed? You really knew that motor, enjoyed it.
I was impressed that the engine would run that fast, and no, I wasn't leaning on it. If you would look at the video, you'll see. The car was. You know, I'm still trying to tune the car because I tell anybody, hell, I ain't no tuner. But if you look, you'll see, you know, I had a cloud of smoke behind the car, which the car was too fat, you know, so I'm just saying, no, I wasn't leaning on it. From talking to the guy, y'all know Ernest, when I talked to Ernest and I found out so much stuff I was doing wrong, it was.
Now, we talking about Ernie or the copyware, right?
Right. I was doing so much stuff wrong. I had that car on 10 degrees timing. And Ernie told me, he said, boy, that's the worst thing you could ever do. You could burn up your engine. The hell, I was burning them up. So when I brought the timing up, round about, you know, round 18 degrees, man.
And it was rolling hellos on your thing, dude. Or y'all ain't on it.
Say what now?
What'd you say, sir?
I thought somebody said something.
Oh, okay. No, I thought someone said something too. Go ahead, Bobby. You got the floor.
But like I said, I was blowing, you know, and when I brought the horsepower up on the car, man, wow, you know, I would just love to have seen, you know, before I had the accident, I would love to see now, you know, before what the thing would run through the quarter mile. You know, I think that car probably would have ran at least probably in the quarter mile, single carburetor. It probably would have ran a 670 in the quarter mile.
I got a question for Mr. Russo. Out there in California, you guys run a lot of small cubic inch motors, and you guys got them a force induction plus, you know, plus nitrous. Why do you guys find those cars to make a lot of horsepower, which we have seen in the books and videos? I mean, can you time and tell us about that?
Well, the guys out here that have dabbled in the fuel injection, they haven't had much success with it. Either they just can't get the car right, and they abandon it, or they just, you know, they try to stay with it and work through all the little gremlins. But pretty much when it's all said and done, you know, they all the nitrous guys, they go back to the carburetors. And you know, maybe it's something, like I said, in the tuning. Maybe it's something they feel that's more, they know more, you know, more of to adjust, or, you know, jetting and going with that. But I know even my buddy who he went from the carburetor to fuel injection. And it was all motor. It wasn't a nitrous motor. It was an all motor car, and he actually lost a tenth. And that could have been in tuning, you know, because he was learning how to, you know, to tune the car too. And but then it got to the point where he just pulled everything out and put the carburetor back on. So I think some people might just get frustrated with the tuning, and instead of saying it doesn't work. You got a good tuner, man. I think that's where it's at. You got to have somebody who's really dialed in with that stuff that can dial your car in, and maybe it would be a better. But I'm a carb guy, and I was going to ask this question to everybody: if you had $50,000 to build a motor, how would you have it come out, with a carburetor or injected?
You want to ask me first? Fuel injection.
Yeah,
if I had that money to spend, you know, I'm just saying, if I had that money to spend, and you know what? I didn't answer that question right. Maybe Bobby Wildchild and Mr. B could help answer that question. But if I had a tuner that I could afford to keep, I would go fuel injection. But if it was me doing it, I would go carburetor.
Who is that going to sleep or breathing hard on the phone, man?
I don't know, Leon. I'm trying to work on it for you right now. I'm glad you said something.
Well, as far as me, I'll take carburetors all day long. I mean, I would, because like you said, the knowledge to me is not there for the fuel injector. Nobody, like you said, if I had somebody to tune them or whatever, but I think I just like them old carburetors.
I'm with you, Bobby. The same thing, man. I'm staying with the carbs.
Well, I say fuel injection because the simple fact is, when you got a person making a pass down the track and number 8 cylinder is leaning and number 2 cylinder is leaning, you can go back in there and you can put more fuel to catch up with that as you're going down the track. And I have seen guys dial that in before they go on the beam to hit a button and when they put the fuel in and when they cut it off if you need it. That's the difference in the carburetor and that fuel injection. It's just that technology. You can do this stuff. You can't beat it, man.
But, Leon, isn't it though? I mean, I hear what you're saying about the injection. You're absolutely 100% right. You get something, you know, a little lean, you can tune that in. But with a carburetor motor, either the motor's going to be lean or it's going to be rich or it's going to be right on. I don't think it's going to be one or two cylinders like would an injection car.
But you can hurt yourself when you put too much fuel in there on that nitrous. You can hurt yourself.
Right.
Keeping the fuel where you want it at, where it ain't getting the proper fuel left to make it catch up with.
Well, you know, you got
to
think again, too. Think about your power grid. You can do the same thing with the carburetor. You can cool the cylinder down and heat it up one, too, with the power grid. So, hey.
Hey, you know what? So, Leon, I'll tell you.
I do know this much. And I didn't own it
but I did a lot of driving. I've never seen no fuel injection tick out the carburetor than the intake. And I drove a car that ticked both of those out.
So what do you mean? Hey, Leon, if you could break it down for us a little bit better, what do you mean by that? So, you know, I guess the listeners and callers are going to understand what you're saying.
I drove Kelly car and that gold boot, and I drove it, but Billy and them tuned the car. But Billy and them did something to the car, and the car backfired. And it took out the carburetors and the anti-air. It actually blew the motor up because it hurt the motor.
Okay, can I respond on that?
But I ain't
Carburetor didn't do it. The carburetor didn't do it. He probably had nitrous on the leaking cylinder. It wasn't the carburetor. You can put carburetor on the engine all day long, and I don't think you'll never get a carburetor that's gonna backfire enough to take off an intake. Carburetor's not gonna do it. But now, if you got something, if your cylinders are leaking fuel or the mixture is wrong, yeah, they'll take them off. Cause I've been sitting in line. I'm pretty sure a lot of the other guys have sitting. Right, I was sitting in a place, and the guy was sitting there. I think it was the white boys down at Macon, and they were sitting. They switched the cars off because something, I don't know, it's a tree or something's on the track. And when he got ready to crank that car back up, and he switched it on, boom! But see, that's because the solenoid was leaking. It wasn't the carburetors.
You know, I'll tell you, this debate like this can go on, and it's almost like asking the question, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You're going to have people who like one, and you have other people who like the other. But I think the proof is in the pudding on race day. And who's getting their working the best?
I think 75% of the racers love fuel injection when they just carbureted. Because if I had the chance and I could afford to do it, I would do it. If I could afford a BMW Pro Charger, a turbo car, I would do it. Because it seems a lot easier. Technology is a lot smarter. You talking to a person that didn't have half of the stuff I had in my car, but looking and going to these events and watching these guys go fast, you got to have this type of stuff and stay consistent to be able to run with these guys. Stuff ain't going to get it.
Well, I agree with you. I think that if I had the money and I was going to go with a Pro Charger or a turbocharger, I would definitely go fuel injected then. I think for a nitrous application, I would say carbureted.
So Leon,
so let me ask you this question. So if a guy, an older car, he making the same power you making right now today, and you think the older car would get away from you in a drag race if it's eighth mile or a quarter mile? You think the older car get away from me? He got the same. He got a little late 60-foot thing you got. He might not actually. He might even beat you off the tree. You think you can hunt him down for the new technology that you got tuned with your car?
Yeah, because you got to look at it. Back then they had 4-speed and 6. Now they got converters. In Liberty, they got converters now. You can count the people who got liberties in their cars now.
What I'm saying to you is this: now listen to me, Leon. Now you got me. You basically got the damn near identical car. You got a Glad. I got a Glad, but it's old. It's an older Glad. But I got the same horsepower you got, but mine older. So you saying? The older power ain't like the newer power that you laying down now in the 1,300 to 20 feet or the 660?
No, that new power is stronger, man. You know why I say that? Baby Jones, I bought a new
one. Yeah, I'm back at work, but that don't make any sense at all. I mean,
that's
you want
no
man 100 grand.
None.
That makes no sense.
Yep.
Horsepower
is
horsepower. Horsepower don't care what motor it come out of. Right. 660 horsepower is 600. Man, I know I got a lot of background on them back at work, but 660 horsepower
Damn it, that's 606 horsepower. I don't care where it was built. It could have been built in 1902. It doesn't matter. What matters is how it is applied to the ground. Now, that's where converters come into play. But the horsepower is horsepower, man.
Okay, I'm going to use this example. You might have been racing as long as I have. Back in the 70s, you could take an 11-second car, 11-0, to run 100, almost 140 miles per hour. Take an 11-second car now, you watch how fast you run. Payback, they a proven example. They came with some cars back from US 30, 741. Used to run 138 at 11-0. Now he run 11-0. He run 129.
It ran out of mind that way, you know, because it was spinning so bad. Harry Dog said this a long time ago. Dog said if a car don't have ET, hell, it should have something on the left of mile an hour. That's why.
Once again, it's just like he said to you. It's how you putting it down. I mean, you know, you got to get it. You know, if you ain't putting it to the ground, you gonna change the gear. You say back in the old days. Old days didn't hardly have but maybe what, two planetary gears? I know the 176, and I can't remember. How many different kind of planetary you got now? Man, you got anything from, you can think about it, 10 or 15 different gear set. So I'm just saying, but it's still how you putting it to the ground. How much horsepower
Bobby,
you putting to them rear wheels?
Hey,
Bobby,
let me show you guys some technology versus old school, and then this will clear it up right here. I'm sure everyone on this show seen the Fast and Furious first one. Remember when he went and pulled an old ass Dodge out and ran against that new car with the nitrous on it? That's old school versus new school. 990 is still 990. 880s are still 880s.
Well, you make a point there, bro. You make a point there, Leon made a good point too. Leon said a limo at 138 mile an hour, you can get a nine second car. Goddamn, 970, 960 car. Goddamn, running 130 some mile an hour now.
Hey,
you right, Leon.
So he can tell you a lot better because he was back there then.
Well, I will say this, you guys. Years ago, when I was playing with my car, it was nothing spectacular in it, but Leon said something was right. I used to run 11.07 at 117 mile an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I could get out the car. That's all I get. I mean, we did everything we could try and do. You know, but then, like Bobby Wildchild said today, Leon's there too. And Tay Oba saying, you know, with these new carburetors now, which I had did when I bring my car back out after doing that, I never touched a carburetor. The only time I touched it is was I called him one time, and he said, square it up, and the car picked up. That was it.
He said,
don't turn shit on it. He said, just change the jet.
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Yeah, I hear y'all.
Hey,
oh, Mr. Drag, how you doing, sir?
All right, man. How y'all doing, man?
What's up,
man?
What's going on, fellas? Man, I can't call it.
Back in the days in 75, 78, when Cal and them boys had that payback Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
What car you run back in the day?
Payback run like 1120s.
How fast was this mile power back then?
Well, all the mile hour back in the day was about 10 to 12 mile hour different than now. It was all high. All the mile an hour was high. You know, it wasn't accurate. You know, the time of the stuff was different and all that stuff. But you figure a car that was running 1120 back then, it probably said it run 125, 126, which in actuality of today's standard, it probably wasn't running no more than 116, 17.
Now, if you had the opportunity to race your car right now, what you'd rather have, fuel injection or carburetor?
Well, I would have to say carburetor because I know carburetors. You know, I don't know a lot about fuel injection because I've never ventured off into fuel injection. You know, a fuel injection is definitely throttle responsive, more throttle responsive than carburetor, but I don't think it's no faster.
Hey, Drag.
No. Hey, Drag. Hey, Drag. One quick question. We got you on here. We tried to get Harold Martin on tonight because some of the guys were saying carburetor is faster than a carburetor is faster than fuel injection. What's your take on that? You know, I mean,
tunability with a fuel injection because, you know, it's a computer involved.
Right.
But I think that the carburetor is probably going to be the fastest thing you can have. They went back and forth here a few years back about putting fuel injection on the Pro Stocks. NHRA was, and they never did do it because I think the guys just didn't get together with it. Plus, that's, you know, factory hot rods, so they basically is still doing that stuff the same way they started out doing it.
Thank you, Big Dread. That's what I tried to tell Brett, man, but he wanted to have a little different opinion about that.
Hey, Bobby. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, it's Bobby. How you doing, Drag? Pretty good.
Everything okay?
Hey, Drag.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Tail.
What up, Tay?
What's going on, brother? Yeah, the question was, though, it wasn't on motor. Is if you were to run, your motor was on nitrous, what would you rather have, the fuel injection or the carburetor? I think that's what the question kind of was.
Well, I think on nitrous, you got a better tuning, you know, you got more tunability because you can fine tune individual cylinders with fuel injection. You know, with a carburetor, you can only get so close with it, you know, but you can get it perfect with injection, man.
See, and I think that's the thing is, I think everybody that has chimed in on this is right. I don't think there's really a wrong way to go. I think it's more personal preference. I think it's what you have the money for or what you can run. But I think that me personally, I'm a carburetor guy. That's what I know. I think it's just going to come down to money and, you know, what your preferences in running.
We got Big Drag and Bobby Wildchild. I'm going to say one of the two fastest guys on the show. If I was to offer you, we give a scenario, and I know you guys, you're dealing with stuff where, you know, money situations, but if I was to sponsor you, just say I own a corporation, and I say Drag, and Bobby Wildchild, I'm going to give you one of your $100,000 apiece. I'm going to say it just that way. Which way would you want y'all lean to? Would you? If I'm giving you money to build the motor,
they're going to lean toward what they know.
If you're talking about racing,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Drake.
If you're asking the question of what would we choose with $100,000, I'd have to tell you I had to go with carburetors with $100,000 because $100,000 in a race car ain't going to go too far, bro. You know, so ain't no way to research
dollars.
And development.
$1 million.
Well,
that
may change things up because with $1 million, maybe I got time to do R&D and to bring in somebody that's more knowledgeable about the fuel injection than I am.
Right. Me personally, I'm going to stick with the carburetors. I'm gonna stick with it.
Well,
I'm
a carburetor man too, Bobby. I definitely agree with you about the carburetors. But if fuel injection, if there's something to be had, you know, if you had that type of money to experiment and see, then sure. But I tell you this: you can give me a car with carburetors on it, and I can give you a fast car. Now, if you give me some fuel injection on it, I would have to learn it.
Drag, what they saying though? They saying that guys is out there with the fuel injection cars right now that's laying it down. They was comparing your Pro Stock that you had last year, talking about some pro fuel injection guys that was that's out there already. You don't know nobody. That's what we're trying to figure out, trying to see you know anybody or is somebody out there really doing. I heard you say something about NHRA back and forth, but what, you don't know nobody really laying it down with fuel injection?
No, ain't many cars got fuel injection out of it that's really raising no hell. You know, I mean, the few that's doing this, there's a few, Pat, you've seen them got a couple fuel-injected cars, you know, fuel-injected engine. With nitrous, I think fuel injection, you know, will probably be better for purposes. But as far as no nitrous, carburetors, if you compare carburetors against fuel injection, I don't think there's no advantage.
Greg, you know, I was telling them also, if you look at all the engine builders, you don't see too many guys building engine with fuel injection. You know, all 905 cubic inch. If you get three stage, four stage, or five stage, you see splits or whatever on them. You don't, you know, because nobody, like I said, nobody really ain't got a hammer. I'm not saying it's not faster, but really it hasn't been proven yet. I mean, they still got a long way to go to, you know, to get that thing. I think we're that the average person that could look at it and maybe try to get it down the track, you know.
Well, you know, Bobby, I agree with you about what you said about the big motors and all the big engine, the big engine builders, David Nim, Gene Fulton, and Sonny, and all those guys. Well, Sonny's got a big motor that do have fuel injection. Todd Horner actually ran campaigned a IHRA style mountain motor. They call it ABRA or Pro Stock, but they were mountain motor cars. I look at them as IHRA cars. He ran fuel injection, Todd Horner, and he's number one qualified at several of those races, and he's won a couple of those races, you know. But for the longevity and consistency, I think that the carbureted cars outran him. You know, he had some good days, you know, but that's what everybody, they had the good and bad days. But fuel injection is not, you know, I ain't going to say it's distinct, you know, because you do have some guys out there using it. But it's a select few.
Well, I like to say I'm so glad, Drag, you got on the show, and so glad that Bobby Watchard got on the show to, you know, to help these guys out to explain, you know, what's going on. You know, I mean, you guys are one of the faster guys on the show that have dealt with it. And if you got younger guys don't listen to what these guys are saying, so be it. They've been in the game for a long time.
Well, I think if a person needs a guideline, man, you know, I'm not going to throw myself out there in the ranks, but if they want, you know, to have a path to go down, pay attention. This is my word to you. Pay attention to the pro stocks. Whatever you see the pro stocks doing, you follow them.
There you go.
Hey, Drag and Bobby Watchhouse, I just got one question for you guys. My daddy always taught me, if you're going to be in this game, to educate yourself to best your knowledge, and always don't, you know, as the numerous teachers tell you, don't put your hand up. A dumb question is not a question. You know, you guys coming from wrong. But, Drag, I've talked to you, been in a race with you, and you never picked from where I was from, but you tried to help me on my car, and we had a problem. We finally figured it out. You figured it out. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is that, you know, you guys are not approachable to try to help someone out, you know, and that's what I like about
my number. My number has been the same for almost 15 years, you know. If anybody just calls, I'm not on the radio every day, don't mean that I'm not around, you know. I just, you know, don't have time to be on the radio like I used to be, you know.
Yes, sir.
Anybody can call me at any time, and I don't have a problem with giving them a hand. I ain't going to cost them nothing, man, you know. I didn't get to the point where I'm at by just, you know, my nose to the ground, and I found out everything that I know on my own. People help me, you know, and people, you know, point me in the right direction. So is there anybody in the sound of my voice needs some help?
You never helped me. I asked you for help.
If you asked me for help and I didn't help you, you didn't take it. That's all I can tell you, because I've never turned nobody down for help.
No, so Peter, go get lost.
Yeah.
Now,
okay.
Who's this? Who's this?
Whoever it is,
what
ain't coming with no sense.
Well, Ray, good to see you, man.
Oh, what up,
hey,
baby? I ain't never told nobody, turn nobody down to help them.
B, I mean, Drag. B,
yeah.
B, not that we're going to. B told a story on a show about two nights ago saying that, you know, you guys are going to race one night and you know, something happened where B had to get in the paddy wagon. But it said you drove his car to get it back home. But that type of guy, I'm just saying, I want people to know, this type of drag guy, you know, drag is, he's not a funny starting guy. He'll help you anything he can. He won't sell you what he'll do anything to help you, and he won't say what he's doing with you. But to me, it's like, knowing Mr. B, knowing drag, man, these guys, man, I mean, back from Chicago, man, them are the guys I like to hang around. Them are the guys who get
money. Well, you know, we've been around, started out young. You know, me and D is around the same age. And D's been around a long time, too. D's been actually a personal friend of mine since the 70s. You know, but we were rivalries, you know, but it didn't stop us from being friends. He had a team of his guys that he raced with, and I had the opposite. And we raced against each other, you know, but when the racing was over with, we still interact with each other. We still try to help each other out. And we're still that way to this day. You know, I don't see D every day, nor talk to him, but he is a friend of mine. And I will, you know, just as early as last year when we was at Martin, Michigan at Little Tony's race, we was there to run Mr. Willie. And Mr.
Yes,
Willie's
sir.
Car broke in with some more boys out of Detroit that I know. They was having some issues with their carburetors on their car. You know, I told them I'd be right back. They said, well, what are you going to do? I come back. I had another pair of Dominators, spare set of Dominators in my trailer, and I gave them to him. I told him, put them on your car and go racing, man. You know, so I don't got no problem with helping nobody. I'll take, if my car's down, I'll take a part off my car and give to you if you needed to go racing.
Yes, sir, Gerard.
Well, I know the guy's a good fellow because he helped me out. I don't go back for his, you know, drag, but, you know, on this end down here, you know, got a lot of young guys got to get started up in. You know, I got one of them. He's so hard hit, big drag, and he just won't listen to nothing. And he be trying to tell him stuff, but you know, basically what I try to do is stop them from spending money that I done spent to try to learn what I done learned. I'm not gonna even tell them about that. I'm no hell H's tuner. I'm all this and that. And, you know, I'm not, which I'm not. But the young guy that I see coming up and trying to build something, you know, I try to tell them, hey, man, you know, I done been there, done that. And what you're doing, you finna go backwards. And, you know, some of them don't believe it. They got to try it anyway. Again, they finally come to you, oh, man, you know, he thought, you know, oh, man, I put these low gears in this car. It's going to run faster on nitrous. I said, but you got to look. Boy, you got a 4,000-pound can't go out here and put all this and think you're going to lose somewhere. And when you put it in there, he lost about 3/10, so he was right back putting the other gears back in there. But, you know, like you said, it's just time to, like I said, there's a lot of people know a lot more, and I'm pretty sure Drag know a lot more than that because he's been out there, and I met him through a buddy of mine named Skip. And believe it or not, I probably, the first time I ever seen him, I didn't talk to him for about 7-8 years, but I only seen him in person about 3 years ago. So he will help you, and I know that for a fact. And, like, the only thing I try to do is guys that I know and the stuff. I'm only going to tell you what I know. I can't tell you what I don't know, and that's the only thing I can do. Stuff that I know, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, Bobby, and to like something that you just said, your racing and what you've done, it speaks for itself. You know, so a person, if they want to go fast, you got to follow somebody going fast. You can't. I'm not going over here to the doggone dentist and tell him to do no heart surgery on me. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel that he's qualified to do that. You know, but if
that's
I want to pull the field, that's who I get to do it. So, you know, pretty much like follow the leaders, the ones that you see doing good, that's the ones that you got to trail, man. I'm not saying anything's wrong with a guy that's not going fast, but if he got his own race car and he ain't going fast and would like to go fast, it's only because he don't know how to go fast. So he can't point you, he can't get you there where you're trying to go.
Right.
Hey, I have one other question.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm going to ask you.
My man called me too, but I didn't see it till I came back in the house. I was outside.
No, man, I called you the other day when I was in Indianapolis. I'm going back Monday.
He mailed them. Them carburetors made it to me yesterday morning. Smith mailed them to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to get back on mute because I'm in the truck making noise.
Okay. Yeah. What? Hey, Kevin. What y'all change y'all show from Saturday to Friday?
No, no. We me, Tayo, Kalak Joe, Baby Boy. We pick up a show on Friday night, and we try to, you know, let everybody know tomorrow night. If you guys want to call in tomorrow night, Tayo's got a show. Please call in, and you know, we try to do is not to get into that, you know, a bunch of karate, but let guys understand what's going on. So, you know, if you got something to say about your foot that's wrong, you know, get it out there so we can straighten it out. You know, basically, you know, I think that's what we're trying to do.
So this show, I got to ask you this, is this a private show, is it a grudging show? Or?
It's a grudging show.
Okay. Not that I don't have no problem with that. I'm just curious.
Oh, no, sir. We know you don't. You know, it's just that we, the show is dead on Friday nights, and, you know, we're just trying to keep the show going. We're, you know, and I was called to, you know, try to help get a show, and you know, we didn't want to get all that bullshit. We wanted, you know, people get knowledge from the show.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, K.O., can I ask Big Drag a question? This Baby Boy, Big Drag, how you doing?
What's going on?
Not much. We had a topic earlier when me and Cadillac started the show. We was asking what was the difference between the old school racers, which you are old school racers, and between the new school racers.
In what aspect? The people as people, is the cars or?
In everything, far as the stipulations, the cars, everything that you got to elaborate in so many words and make it, you know, like little simple things, you know.
Well, from what I grew up on, and Bobby can witness that, and he raced in a totally different state than I raced in. Is a difference in the people? Is a difference in their cars? Is a difference in their thinking and the way that they do stuff, man? You know, we old school cats, man. You know, we come through the ranks. We race $100, $50, $75, man. We did not race to try. In my opinion, these young cats, these new cats, their racing has gotten to be personal. You know what I'm saying? And their egos and stuff get involved in it, and they tend to bet more than they can afford to lose or more than they have to lose. And then when they lose, they don't want to pay, first of all. Secondly, they have a problem with you, you know, and if you beat them, I can remember getting beat or beating different guys back in the days, and we beat me, then we team up and get your car and go run the next guy, you know what I'm saying, and we'd all stack our money together, and D can attest to this, bro. There was a guy around us back in the days named CW. CW had more money than all of us put together, so what we had to do, all those different guys that had race cars. If we had one and we thought to compete with CW, we would all get together, get the fastest car we had out of our bunch, and we would all put our monies together. CW never counted. He just said whatever y'all bet. Never counted our money. He says it's a bet. Whatever y'all got is a bet.
Whatever y'all come up with.
Whatever we come up with. And CW lost the majority of the time to us, you know what I'm saying, because we all got together. Nowadays, you can't do that, bro. These dudes don't want you in their business. They don't want you betting with them. You know, actually, if they got their own camp, they don't even want you over there with them. It's too personal, and I think it's not only is it personal, I think these guys I got, dog, are just, I'm just going to plain out tell you, they're just ignorant, man. They're just ignorant, bro.
You know what, Drake? I have to agree with you on that because, man, so much politics now and mm-hmm. stuff that it is, that's a lot different. Man, back in the day, I'm going to tell y'all what we used to do. Man, if you was going north and I was going south, and me and you had a dispute when we was in our personal car, man, we turned right there in the highway. You went
mm-hmm.
with me, I went with you. And, hey, I turned around here, and you went on your way. I went back the other way, and I went and tried to put some bigger jets in my carburetor. If I beat you,
mm-hmm.
we're going to do it again. That's how it used to be. But now, the money and the politics, I don't go to your show. You don't come to mine. You know, and then the way we carry on out there is just unreal. And you can believe it or not, there's a lot of people listening to these shows. And they're just sitting back and just listening and how, just like Big Dread say, all the ignorance that goes on. Let me tell you something now. I have a sponsorship with Discount Auto Parts, which is advanced now. I had it for 7 years. Let me tell you, I have a guideline I had to follow. I couldn't come on these shows cussing and calling people all kind of names and this and that. That company would not allow that. So they sit me down and told me, look here, you represent Discount Auto Parts. And all that ignorant stuff is not going to happen. I mean, I had a man that called me the end. Well, he told them, why y'all sponsoring the end? And I want to go to it and beat his ass. I'm just going to tell you, that's what I want to do. But they said, no, don't you say nothing to him. So you know what I did? I retaliated on him by, we was doing bracket racing. Man, I went and bought me a box, and I learned how to cut lights better, do the tree and everything, and you can bet your tail. I couldn't say that because I knew I was going to lose that money, that sponsorship. So instead of losing that sponsorship, I said, I get him. And I made him quit racing. I made sure when he pulled up to go to the line, I didn't care what lane I was in. I just wanted that man ass. And for the kids,
hey, Bobby, see, you don't retaliate with the fish, you retaliate with the pen and pencil. Get him in the pocket, that's how you retaliate.
Absolutely,
and,
absolutely,
and,
I've heard.
And like what you were saying earlier, that's what man was saying when he said that I spoke on me and Drag Race. Rick, remember you stole my car behind the Ford plant?
Yeah, when they took your driver, I think it was Didi, and me and you were sitting on the car, the paddy wagon, waiting on the tow truck to come. And I said, well, what you want to do, Didi? He said, man, they're going to tow my car. I said, well, no, they ain't going to tow it. Let's just sit on the car, put it in neutral, Didi, and we're going to sit on it like we waiting on. We kept pushing the car and walking it back. We kept pushing it back and walking it back. And I said, Didi, how you fire that son of a gun up? And he told me how to fire it up, and the only thing that doggone police officer heard was the old Buick 5. I dropped that jokey gear, and I come away from there with that car, and I run from that police for about 15, 20 minutes and hit the car.
Yeah, see, that's what he was speaking of earlier. That type of stuff, you don't have in racing today. You know, I mean, you just don't have it.
Hey, Drag, maybe that's the difference between old school and new school. Man, we run from the police.
Man, we run straight. I remember one time, hey, Taylor, I'm going to tell you what it was. This was like the end of 95. I just come home from a nice old college state, federal college state. So I had one car left that they didn't take before they took me. I put that old car back together that year in 95, and it was an Oldsmobile. What it was even though the car was a 70 Oldsmobile with an old motor.
That Cutlass. Yep.
Yes, sir, that Cutlass. And them, so I'm going to call it
a real
Oldsmobile. Had a real Oldsmobile. The car would run back then, I'm telling you, 96 with an Oldsmobile, and it'd run 960 on the motor in a quarter.
Yep.
And them, some guns had took that old mine. And boy, that's the last Mohican right there. I told D, I said, wherever they set it down, that they better set it inside the pond, because if they don't set it down in the pond, I'm taking this song gun.
Just go ahead and get it.
They set that song gun down across the street from the police station. And as soon as that tow truck pulled off, I was hooking a strap to that joke. And down South Chicago I went. I towed that joke all the way to the west side.
That's right. They if they don't like it there, I'm going to take it.
They better put it inside the pond, because I was taking
remember
that car.
Rick?
I didn't give a
damn. Hey, Rick, remember when I tried to run D.A. on Ogden's and he ran and put his car in the trailer? The sergeant come down the street. This was speaking of the difference of the old school and new school. Man, my car hadn't been on the street in 10 years. I just brought it for the chance to shout. What he was trying to race the car? It was about 40 guys lined up on the fence. The sergeant told me he was going to tow my car. I said, Sarge, I said, can I just put the car in the trailer and I'll pay for a car and trailer? He told me no. I said,
no,
sorry.
No,
I said, look that tow truck to my car. It's going to be some problems out here.
He told me, do you read it? I said, yes, I do. So he asked me, he said, well, would these guys help you push this car in the trailer if I let you push it? The only somebody came off this fence was Bryant and Drag. And helped me, mm-hmm. I had my daughter out there trying to guide the car up on the trailer while we pushed the car up on the trailer to let them tow the car in the trailer to keep looking for my car. Mm-hmm. See, that's the difference in the old school and the new school. These guys today will stand there and look at you and laugh.
Yeah, see,
I saw this change coming. I saw this change coming, man, when the bangers started getting in drag racing. That's when this change, I could see it coming in. Drag and I have talked about this several times. I could see it changing right then because they got that no-go money. We had that I-don't-care money.
Well, let me tell you the difference, D. And Bobby and you and anybody else that's been around racing a long time attest to this. The difference with these new school racers, they are not drag racers. They wasn't grown into this. They bought into this. These are guys, a lot of these guys that's racing, 70% of the guys that's racing right now.
You said a mouthful right there, drag.
They come in racing with money. They seen it. They liked it. They had the money to buy a car. They bought them. None of my drivers, none of them. None of my drivers. I'll put my doggone granddaughter in the car as long as it's going straight. She'll drive it straight. The problem is with these new guys, these new school guys, is when you have a problem with one of them cars, that's when you can tell a driver. That's when your expertise comes into play. If you got a car that's going down the racetrack straight as an arrow every time you send it down the racetrack, then anybody could drive it. The difference is when you have an issue. That's when you find out who's behind the seat of that car.
That's right.
Because drag, you know, when I was a kid, I used to see you, my dad, a couple of more guys from the west side, y'all go to the south side. Y'all used to have column shifts in cars and driving them cars, man. I'm talking about y'all shifting them cars from the column, man. Y'all maybe had them where the car was, the shift was in the flow and they had the shift on the button and all this old stuff, man. Y'all was driving those cars, dude.
Bro, when we called it a street car, that's what it was—a street car.
Well, I think somebody looked at.
I gotta go. Let me tell you guys this. I got a guard. Tony Bynes said this a couple nights ago. He said they are gamblers. They foot race. They do. Man, listen. For we couldn't run a race car, we ran something. If we went to
foot races, go down. Foot races go around. I'm taking you back to the 70s. A lot of these guys, I don't know if they noticed, back on Hastings, they foot race back in them days for $1,000, $1,500 in the 70s, home feet.
Yeah, I used to do that out here in Cali, man.
I ran Mimi for $800 right there in front of Osa Shop.
That was Mimi.
I tell you something else we used to do that guys won't do today. I did this several times. I run a car, one light pole. One mm-hmm. light pole, I'm on foot, and hit a car. Well, I mean, that's why you hear me say this all the time. It's nothing new. These are just old games with new twists. We did all this already. They think they're doing something new, but we done it.
Yeah.
We innovated.
Yeah, we used to have tug of wars with their trucks and stuff like that, hook up to both of them. They would back up to each other and put a chain on it, and who pulled each other the furthest. You know what I'm saying? I've seen CW and the Red Eye Sam and all of them do that all the time, man. That type. Any way these brothers could get a gamble on, they did it, man.
Hey guys, listen. I gotta jump off, man. I gotta get into dinner. We're at the restaurant. I just told my wife I'd be out here for a few minutes. But I want to say, man, great topic, great show, and Drag, always a pleasure talking to you, Bobby. Great talking to you. Been a while. And Cadillac Joe, man, great job with this baby. And I'll talk to everybody soon. Hopefully tomorrow night. But I'll talk to you guys soon, man.
Take it easy, Tayo.
Hey, let the guys know what time your show come on tomorrow night. Maybe you can finish the show. If it don't go the way they want to go, they can finish and get on tomorrow night. You know what I'm saying?
My show's on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock West Coast time, 10 o'clock East Coast time. So, yeah, heck yeah, man. This is a great subject, man. I don't mind picking up where you guys leave off tonight, man.
Well, go ahead.
You guys have
all good night, man. Time to call in tomorrow night. Tell them to call it down.
All
and
my
we'll finish
when
we'll finish when we can't finish.
I got to, I'm the only one with the California show that had more Chicago and Detroit people calling in than anybody else. Those are my people. All right, man, y'all have a good night, man.
You do the same, bro.
Good night. All right, brother.
Okay.
All right, K.O.
All right.
Hey, Drag.
Yeah, I'm here.
When you spoke about Hastings, you was talking way over the heads, man.
Okay, right, right.
We used to race all night long and go to the breakfast place early in the morning, man.
But Larry, they don't understand that. I can remember my first wife, she used to say, why do you come home so late, so early in the morning? Why do you come home so early? What are you doing? I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take you with me tonight and you'll see. She said, okay, I sure want to go. I took her. It was a Saturday night because I come home late that Friday night, about 7 in the morning. I said, ain't nothing you been doing out there with no cars, no sudden. I said, okay, I'm going to take you with me tonight. I tell you what, when she went with me Saturday, she didn't get back home the Sunday night because when we left over Osi's, I went straight to the track. She said, I understand now. I'm going to leave you alone.
Hey, Nick Drag.
Yes, sir.
My mama told my dad the same thing. And she started hanging out. Man, she had us. It was nice. We had to go to school, dude. My mama said, you got to do one of the two. You can hang out by yourself. With them race cars, you got to take your kids to school.
Well, I tell you what, you had to make them kids go to school because they enjoyed it just as much as we did.
Yo, did.
That's why I love it. Right today.
Mm-hmm. Well, this stuff is some cool stuff, man. You know, and I'm gonna race this year where I can enjoy racing. You know, the last couple of years I've been working hard with the cars because I had the type of cars that required a lot of work, but this year. I got a car that ain't going to take no lot of maintenance, is what I'm saying. And I'm going to enjoy racing this year.
Yes, indeed.
That's what's up, bro. We're going to support you. You know that.
I appreciate that. I got several races. I want to say this now. Big Drag, we're glad you're back,
yes.
Brother. We're glad you're back because,
oh, yeah.
You know, since the last thing you said tonight, if your young brothers ain't listening, that man ain't funny. That man will talk to you. And I'm saying, with Bobby Watch House and the same thing, you guys need to get your head out your ass. And if you got a problem, they going to help you win 100. They ain't trying to play you.
No, words ain't going to cost you nothing, man. And, you know, and a lot of times labor ain't. You know, I get paid when I do labor. If there's anything I can help you with, you know, verbally with these cars, I definitely don't have a problem with it. If I don't know, you know, I'll definitely point you in the right direction.
Hey, Drag. Remember, you were talking about Lee in the first one. Remember Teresa? I said, we're going to a movie. I said, man, we're going to call this race. Just call this one race. Man,
yeah,
that girl said,
yeah,
yeah. Me all across the body. He's going to tell me, who effing you, me or Mercury? You go effing Mercury. But back in the day, we would pass up anything to see a race. If we went drag racing, we would just stand around with the shop all day, all night, just standing around hoping somebody would race.
Yeah.
But you always been that way, Drag. You always been that way since I know you. And you know, I know you when you had that, what was that, a 60, was it a 64 Dodge?
Yeah, no, I had a Roadrunner.
Did you ever have a drop top Dodge? A 65?
Mm-mm. My first motor car was a Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Over there on Hastings.
Yeah, we had a road, but you know my brother them. They, a lot of them guys that they hung around with, you know, we hung around them too. It was all type of more problem. I mean, my home where I lived up and grew up at on West End was actually Hot Rod Alley. All the hot rods used to come over there every night with my brothers now, you know, and that's where I picked it up from. And Cliff A lot of people don't know that Cliff Williams is my relative. That's my cousin, Cliff.
Okay.
Cliff is my cousin.
Okay.
And Cliff lived in the next block. So, dude, it used to be hot rods from the 4400 block of West End on to the doggone 4300 block of West End. All down the alley from Cliff House to our house.
Mm-hmm. Well, but Raphael ain't no kin to you then.
Who? Cliff?
Little Raphael.
Raphael used to live in the, he's relative to Cliff through marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what Raphael talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, little Raphael, Cliff little boy?
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about another Ralph that used to be down on West End.
I'm talking about him. You know what stopped him from being some kin to me?
I seen
that little boy eat 24 chicken wings. 24. And he said, where the fries at?
Golly. He going to be a big something.
Yes, he is.
Hey, Dre. Yeah. Remember y'all used to go in the mile, man, and race some cars in the mile up there by the toll road up there, man?
Yeah, we used to do that a lot.
Man, y'all used to go, I'm talking about go all over the city drag racing, man. I'm talking about from the west side to the south side. The police run us off one street, we going to another street. Go on Clive Street.
Yeah, we go all over. I remember one time we had Carmen's Malibu up on the Skyways giving, we were giving somebody a spot. I think it may have been CW. This boo was a 1020 car, and we finna run the mile with it. We finna run a flying mile with that boot. And God dog, I get through burning out, get ready to stage. The police run up there. They run in from behind and beating on the window. He beating on the window, God dog, tell me to pull over. Man, all he could see was them front wheels hung in the air, God dog. I saw him that big boot, God dog, and I ain't let up till I got back to the west side.
So you told you pull over and you took off.
Yes, sir, I took off. And
you
played
the
light
over and you pull off.
Yeah, the license plate on the back of the boot said Boo Man, but it wasn't a real plate. It was one of those vanity plates that you buy at the auto show. And Combinator was saying he was on the radio giving a license plate description of the car. Be on the lookout for a car. The license plate said Boo Man. Shoot, man, I was gone.
Yes, sir.
I run from them, boy. I'm telling you, in the race cars, I run from them in a minute. You remember that time they had me, this after I got out of jail, too. This was like in the 90s, late 90s. They had them tie me down and put me in, they tied me down and put me in, Orange Crush over there, out there on, we was on 130, but we was on the other end by Torrance.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to drive that car for them from time to time, but I didn't fit in the car. I used to mash the gas with my left foot, honest to God. Mash the gas with my left foot. I had my feet crisscrossed in the car. So I wasn't even thinking. I was young and foolish. If I wrecked, I'd probably die in it because I couldn't have got out of it. But anyway, the police come. Man, the police come. I run from them some guns, and I run for about a good 5 or 10 minutes, and I hadn't got me a spot in here. Good. So now I'm trying to get out of the car. I ain't know. I thought I didn't get away. As soon as I got out of the car, the police pulled right up. They watched me getting out of the car. He said, man, if this wasn't so funny, I'd lock you up. You know that I'd lock you up. If you don't get the hell on out of here and get this car out of here, I'm going to lock you up.
I remember that. Remember that time we picked the Camaro and put it inside the truck? Your Camaro? Against Gangsta's
yeah.
Had an accident.
Yeah, when it got wrecked.
The car
when it got wrecked.
Inside the truck. As soon as we closed the door, the sergeant came. He looking for the second car and couldn't find it.
Yep, so did.
Cause he
and you know,
the truck.
We damn near killed my brother. We damn near killed my brother that night because we didn't know he was inside the truck. It was a box truck. And we had a rock ramp truck. And we didn't know when the sergeant came. We took off and went on home. Man, we got home, swung the door. My brother got that was laid out. He couldn't even breathe hardly, man. That gas and that all that oil got all the head and just about killed him in there.
It sure did.
Oh, man.
I'm not be telling this guy, like I be telling, like a lot of times I'd be on the air and Wick be like, well, he used to. I think he had talked with Jimmy Griffin them now, so he kind of like know that D or somebody's been around. He's like, I don't know you. And I be telling the man, back when I was racing, when we was really racing, you wasn't around. You wasn't around.
No, he's too young. He's too young. Wick probably was mid-30s or something like that. He's too young to be around back in them days.
Right. And some of the things that they say, some of the things that they do in race, you know, like I hear a lot about this thing about skills. They don't understand what I be trying to explain to them. The only stipulation we had in drag racing was the only true stipulation we had was, are you going to race? We didn't care what last tag you had. We didn't care if you had night. You could have nitrous and I didn't. If we thought we could win, we tried you. If we didn't think we could beat you here, then we asked for a spot and still tried you.
And another thing, all the new school guys don't even understand what the bus is. Back in our days, told you had the bus and you mess around and jump me and I follow you, it's a race.
It's a race.
It's a race.
It's a race.
Nowadays, if you don't get the bus, it ain't no race.
Hey, Brad. No. When you say they got the bus, they talking about the CTA bus. They think the CTA bus. They don't know where the track is.
Yeah, they would think right. And we would get
right. Going along with you. You move. They really dragged Dr. Joe side that jump. Dr. Joe the one brought that ride.
Hey, Dre.
You know we used to see more races on Hastings in one night than we could see in 2, 3, 4 months. At a track.
They race so much on Hastings, man, they got dogged off. They put up speed breakers in the street.
Yo, did.
Back then.
Hey, Larry, Dre, I can tell you, we was on Kilbourne, Lake Gilbourne night.
Lake Gilbourne.
I had tried to get a race all night. I had a 70 deuce. I couldn't get a race nowhere. I let little dudes go around
with
the corner and come around the corner on me. I can't move till you touch me. He come around the corner before I could move.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad we wanted to race. That is how bad we wanted to race back then.
Yes, sir. We didn't just want to race. We raced. And we did go from Kilbourne, down at Fulton, Ogden. We used to go on Cicero. We used to go over on Hastings. Man, we went somewhere everywhere to race. Man, we made sure we raced.
We go on 39th Street. We leave 39th Street, we go on South Chicago, we go everywhere. We hit all the spots, bro. I can take you
behind
back to the 70s. All that
we
behind
the
that. I can quarter. Take you back to the 70s when I'm taking you back to like 70, maybe 75, 76, 77, somewhere up in there. Lil Jack. A lot of guys on here might not know Lil Jack, but they know his buddies. It was Mike Starchild.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, is Drag still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Drag, you got Grime and Pound.
Yeah.
They wanted to say, man, they want to holler at you, man. So they're glad to hear you. Jeff, Grime and Pound.
That's all. What's up, Drag? This is Jeff, man. I just wanted to
say,
I hadn't heard from you in a while, man.
Jeff?
You know, good hearing from the show, man. I told Cadillac I was going to call in, man, and I'm glad I did. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just been away from the show because I've been busy and doing things, man. You know, some things that I really don't care about. But, you know, I keep it to myself. But,
no,
I don't have a problem with none of the shows or nothing, especially none of the guys. I just backed away, man. That's all.
Right. Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You got to take time out for yourself, first of all. You know what I mean? So, but I'm just glad to hear from you, man. Like I told Kevin, I got a garage full, man, so I got everybody quiet for a minute there so I can be able to say my piece. And I'm going to listen to the show, man. You guys carry on. And tell the wise ladies, everybody, happy Valentine's.
Yeah, I got the same to say for them, too.
Yes, sir, no doubt.
But Jeff, let me ask you a question. Jeff, y'all grew up behind some of the guys that grew up with us, too, Mountain Dew and all them guys, right?
Yeah, no doubt, man. We should, man. I come up when you was coming, and we was on the mountaintop up there on that South Chicago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the toll bridge.
Yeah, I remember.
Been around for a while.
With some of the guys, some of the guys from Ground and Pound come from Mount Dunham. See, Mount Dunham was some racist, too. They had that,
That's the Eastside guys came from Mount Dunham.
Okay. Yeah, the Eastside Strangers. You're right. Absolutely, you're right.
Yeah, it wasn't all the Ground and Pound, but I was around Mount Dew as well, you know what I mean? So,
Yeah, no doubt
about it.
Yeah, they had the small block. Don't believe in the small block, boy.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that, man.
Hey, guys. Go ahead, do your thing. But Ground and Pound, I want to say this from, and I'm pretty sure Drag wants to say this, congratulations on your win. You guys won the trophy, Girls of the Year, you guys and your division, and you guys keep on going, man. And I tell you guys, man, you guys don't stay stuck up. If you got a problem, go talk to Drag, man. Drag helped me, not from Drags. You know what I'm saying? Drag is a racer, dude.
No doubt about it, man.
Hey,
I truly appreciate that, man. I mean, it was worthwhile coming, man. I'm so glad. Like I say, Biz, I listened to Shannon's show yesterday. Biz got on there and said, hey, if you want to be famous, come and race me. I made Ground and Pound famous. He absolutely right. He sure the hell did make us famous. But from that point on, now we got to take it on our own, you know what I mean, and keep it going. So I sure appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Hey, this big time, man. I just wanted to grab you one more time myself, man. Congratulations to you, fellas, man.
I thank you, brother. I thank my Eastside brother, my Eastside Strangler brother. We still is one, no doubt about it. Hello?
I'm on.
Okay, we still here. But other than that, man, I got a garage full. I appreciate it. Appreciate everything. Drag, I'll give you a call. I got your number. Kenny called me the other day and told me about you. So I'll give you a shout tomorrow.
Drag, I got a couple items for sale, man. Y'all know anybody interested, so just let me know.
Hey, Drag.
Yeah, I got your number. I'm going to call you.
Okay.
Hey, Drag.
Okay.
Drag,
yeah.
What up,
Whit? Yeah, I was on mute until I heard your voice. I wasn't even going to come on the show because I'm out here with my family. But I heard you, Drag, so I had to come on and holler at you because I ain't heard from you in a while. But
I've been off the scene a little bit.
I just trying to see how you were doing, Drag, that's all. I'm glad
I'm
to see
good,
you doing
man. I'll be to see you in a couple of weeks, you know. I might not make the whole 2 week stage, but I'm gonna stop through by y'all first on my way to Mississippi, so I'll get a chance to see you probably one day that week here to Mississippi. You don't always stop in Memphis and hang out with y'all for a day, Perry and all them guys.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear you holler at your Drag. That's all. That's what I came on for.
Okay, well, I appreciate you, man.
You know, the rest of these everybody else and I already talked to Grudge Ray, so that you hadn't, so I'll give you a chance to talk to the
group.
All right.
Hey, congratulations to you, too. I heard about it, bro.
Thank you, sir. Hold on. Hold on. You had to throw that in there, did you, Whit? What's up, Whit? How you doing, man? What's up, Mr. Drag Racer?
I'm sorry, Whit, what's up, Big? What's going on? Hey, Whit, we got a little something for you. We're going to try to see, I mean, you got Big Drag on the line, and man, I really like to say, Big Drag, hey, you know, thanks, man, for, you know, get on the phone and talk to people, man, because we got, you know, a lot of people got worried about you, but Drag, I mean, you guys love you, man. You know, you got the Girls of the Year on here, and we don't, damn, we have, I was missing you, Drag.
Actually, I was missing you, Drag. I had
it's always good to hear your voice, Drag. Big fella.
Yeah, I had so
always.
I said, man, we need to get Drag on the show, man.
Hey, y'all, I'm not going to love him until he get on down here to US 19. You hear me?
Well, you know what, Bobby? I'm coming your way with a superstock car. I'm going to have me some fun. That's what I'm going to do, man. I ain't going to be fast, but I'm going to be very consistent.
Just be sure.
See, I'm trying to. I got a race with the Northern guy. They're supposed to be coming down on the 28th of June. So, you know, we kind of get y'all Northern guys down here some of this good old what you call Southern hospitality, as they say.
I
can show y'all what it's all about down this way.
Hey Bobby, how's your rebuild coming?
It's kind of slow. You know what I mean? When they told me about 9600, you know, for the body, and I like to fell out.
Well, Bobby, that's a good deal because when I bought that body, it was $12,000. The price done come down on it now.
No, you talking about carbon fiber? I ain't trying to do carbon fiber.
Well, you should be able. You get a Camaro, right?
All right.
You getting a Camaro, right?
Right, doing a Camaro. Yeah.
I can beat that. Mm-hmm. I can beat that 9600. I guarantee I can beat that.
Well, I sure gonna be talking to you. What the deal is? They said they're changing the front ends on them.
Okay. And I'm gonna tell you something else. Rick got a carbon fiber nose sitting right now. Rick's got a carbon fiber nose for a Camaro because he tried to sell it to me cheap. It was a spare one. I don't think he sold it, but I can put you in, you know, cook you up with Rick, and I can beat that 9600.
Yeah, because that 9600, boy, it'll give you a cold chill to the, you know, ooh, Jesus.
have you paid attention to that body that the boy out of Arkansas making the new Cadillac?
Mm-mm.
It's a bad son of a gun, Bobby. Super bad. It's slicker than the Camaro.
Well, yeah.
Hey, let me hold you guys off. Drag and Bobby.
Yeah.
I know you guys are fast. I got one quick question. And you don't have to answer. You can say whatever it is. What's the deal with Harold Mark with this car that he built? Why? I know this is what I heard. I heard they're trying to ban that car from Pro Mod. You know, maybe get you guys to speak on that. That's fine.
Well, you're talking about that car kind of looked like a spaceship.
Yeah, they had that Mark 5, Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 3.
Yeah.
I can't see how they can buy. I couldn't see how they could bar him from Pro Modified because Pro Modified is the consistency of any type of car. So if he's doing something different than they want you to do in the rules, then I don't know nothing about it. But in Pro Mod, as long as you can qualify and make weight break, you should be able to run.
There got to be something in the rules. It's something. Cause they're not just gonna, you know, bar him, not keeping him from coming. He violating somewhere, you know. They're just not putting it out there. You know that about like the boys with the Dodge boys. What was the Auburn boys? You know, just like they got banned, but you know, because everybody found out what they was doing. You know, they had a little laughing gas on there, and they was hitting the boys on the big end up there. So once they found out about them, then they. You know, they got banned from, you know, NHRA Pro Stock. That because they were doing something illegal. So, you know, if that happened, something definite, I don't know what it is, but, you know, eventually it'll leak out what going wrong. It's something rude.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I also want to say I'd like to thank on the show tonight, I thank Bobby Y. Charles and Big Drag. And I'm hoping you guys are listening to these gentlemen because they're trying to get some insight, you know. And if younger guys are not listening to what they got to say, so be it. But these guys are very approachable to help you in any time, any way. Also, I'd like to tell you something about that damn DJ Grant. DJ Grant is a very approachable guy. I was down there in Alabama, you know, I talked to him on the phone a couple times, but the first time I met him, and DJ Grant is one of those guys, he's a real nice guy. He's very personal, too. So, you know, you guys, I mean, walk around and talk to you guys. Ground and pound, definitely them, good people. You know, hey, Drag, you know your boy coming back this year, don't you?
Who that?
Mr. B. Mr. B said he's bringing that dude back.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been talking to him. He told me he's trying to get it back going.
And if anybody, I know Wick and all you guys on the phone, and you know, I know you guys are doing anything to support, help Mr. B. He's not running a Chevrolet or a Ford. He's running something that, you know, a little costly more than all of us. But Mr. B was in the game years and years ago when I first met Dragon. Back in 1997 I met you guys. First time I met you guys at Soul Nationals. And like I say, Dragon, man, it's good to hear from you, brother. It's just solely good to hear from you. And I tell you guys all the time, you can always give a talk to Dragon.
I
want to
speak
The floor is yours. The floor is yours.
We got, I say we because me as a racer, but it's being put on by a really good friend of mine, a longtime friend, is Raylo. There is a drag racers banquet here in the Midwest, and I think it's the 23rd of this month. I'm pretty sure it's the 23rd. It'll be on a Sunday.
23rd. It's the 23rd.
Yeah. For everybody that's listening, man, it's going to be a ton of old US 30 memorabilia. All the guys, that's old school guys, so they'll have all type of videos, cars, pictures, and things like that at Raylo's banquet. And also for the new school dudes, there'll be the live showing of the race that they are having next weekend, the Lights Out race. There'll be on the wall videos, not videos, but live TV that you'll be able to watch that. And for all the even the spectators, the guys that's not fortunate enough to have a car, just don't want to race right now, there's going to be things for them to do and see and people to talk to. So for the guys that, you know, want to be around the Hot Rodders, man, we want to ask y'all that y'all would come in there in numbers, man, so we can support Raylo and get his first annual event, you know, up and going. And another thing for the Midwest guys, I got flyers for Mike Hill's race the following weekend. Matter of fact, hold on. Give me a second, y'all. Let me get one of the flyers, and I'm going to give you the exact date. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got the floor. You got the floor?
Hello?
DJ Chris, still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
DJ,
I'm back.
DJ,
yeah,
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here, Kevin. The date is... March the 8th is Mike Hughes' race. You know, for all the Midwest guys, you know, I'm trying to see which guys that want to go down there. We're going to try to go down there and support Mike as well at the House of Hook Cars. March Madness is what it's called. It's going to be a drag, Carolina Dragway on March 8th. So,
hey,
and they got a three.
Now, I had a quick question for everybody. I had a guy call me, not much from my hometown, Chicago area, and we were talking on the phone one day. And I said, you know what? Why aren't these, you know, governors or people that's involved, why are we trying to do, like, car washes, car shows to help the guys that they're going to try and make? I'm just saying, I'm going to scenario, like, Big Drag. Big Drag's going to take his car on there and race. Why can't we come up with a fundraiser for Drag and whoever else? Don't worry about where the money's going at. You know what I'm saying, guys? Drag's going there, Leon's going there, Big, you know, Three Lugs on there, you know, you got Chuck, you got, I mean, y'all got from Chicago, and I'm sorry, guys, you know, you got from Detroit, Big Wayne. Why can't we just, you know, in each state or each, or we come together and see, you know what, we're going to do the organize, and we can get some money going to help these guys get there. You know, it's not about the bet money, but to get these guys there, just to represent.
Who would you do it for, though? You just named 5 or 6 guys, and it's another 10-15 guys you left out. I mean,
yes, sir,
I understand,
and
I'm all for it.
No,
I'm all for it.
That's
going to
cause a lot of confusion.
Right.
Well, I understand. You can't include everybody can't be included, but, Daddy, you know, somebody got to be left out. So if somebody left out, don't be mad because somebody left out. Come on, bro. Everybody get together with this shit. We all grown. Get this shit together, man.
Hold on, y'all.
Hey, guys.
We don't need nobody.
Greg said earlier, man.
We all going to talk at once.
You know, let's meet nobody's mics. Let's keep it going. I mean, let's keep a good show going. It's an excellent show going tonight.
Hey.
I mean, I would just ask a question, drag on to speak about it. Anyone who wants to speak about it, you guys have a good suggestion. That's what I'm saying.
Let's announce all the events that's going on.
Right.
What?
Well, Leon, you know, Leon, you can always call me. If I got it, you got it. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't worried about it. But I'm just saying, is there more people out there that we can help? Or you know what I'm saying, you know, Ground and Pound, you got Dre, you got all these guys who do travel. My biggest travel, you know, north and invade the south, you know. I went to Kentucky a couple of times, raced some guys, but it wasn't no grudging, nobody's very bad, just, you know, just some match racing. But I'm just saying, what do you guys think about that? And you know what, we can end it. We can talk about it tomorrow night. Just give you a thought. What do you think about it? That's just my question.
Well, you know, my opinion of Kevin of that is I think everybody should reach for everybody if they need a hand at some point, even if it's just some help with their car or something. Sometimes people are not financially able to just throw money in now. And as far as it comes to support, you know, I think that everybody should support everybody. Grudge Inc. should be supported. Mike Hill should be supported. Ronnie Brown should be supported. You know, the stuff that we're doing over here in the Midwest should be supported. You know, if you guys like grudge racing, love grudge racing, you know, it's kind of like the big races and stuff, like NHRA. Those guys go from state to state to state.
Oh,
they tour certain. Everybody's not financially able to tour and go to every race. But one thing you got to realize that, you know, all the races are not going to be right there in your hometown. And if you're going to do any racing or want to support these guys, you've got to move around from state to state, even if you have to pick your races, you know, just like Bobby.
Right.
Bobby Wildchild. I was trying to go to Bobby Wildchild's race last year with my car, you know, but, you know, the unfortunate happened to me and I lost the car. So that took me out the game as far as racing. But we got to start supporting each other, man. A man like Bobby comes on here and he comes on these shows faithfully. You know, he gives his knowledge. He talks to the guys, man. We gotta support that man. We gotta support him, y'all. You know, even if we make a vacation out of it, to go down there with our race cars, go down there with our relatives or whatever, man, and bring 20, 30 guys, you know, from the Midwest down there to go through his gate, man, and help support him. Those are things that we need to do, man. You know, there's a lot of these guys talk about, man, F him. I ain't going over this dude race. I don't like him. You know, he did this, he did that. But whatever, you know, personal reasons that you have shouldn't have nothing to do with your racing. You know, you're going there for a purpose, not to like this person. You're going there to do some racing or see some racing. So we got to get past all that, the hatred, man, and you know, the being mean about this stuff.
Hey, Dre, I agree with you 100%. I don't say this, and I'm not saying that Drag or Bobby Wild is saying this, but this is me personally, me saying this. Guys, stop the Mr. Charlie mentality and support your brothers. Support your people. I'm not going to say brothers. Support your people. I don't care if they're white,
that's
black,
right.
Brown, being around. Let's do this
thing. You can say brothers,
you know?
Because brothers don't have to be a certain color. You know what I'm saying? We have white brothers as well as we got black brothers, man. We got Spanish brothers as well as we got, you know, different races, man. We all races, man. You know, we got to get off of that crazy, this nonsense. Like I said, no, I'm not Grudge Inc. member no more, man. You know what I'm saying? I just walked away from Grudge Inc. But I am not going to sit up here and say anything bad about Grudge Inc., bro. And I will support Grudge Inc. I don't have a problem with supporting Grudge Inc. or any of them. I just decided to go in a different direction, man. You know, I don't want to spread nobody. You know what I'm saying? And for whatever reason that I left is the reason I left. Nobody knows.
Right.
Me.
That's
nobody,
that man's personal reasons.
They don't have me. They don't hear me talking about it. You know, I'm not trying to tear anybody or anything down. That's just not how I do stuff, bro. But if Grudge Inc. bring a race here to Chicago or wherever's close and it's something that I think I can go to, I'm going. You know why? Because I enjoy drag racing. When Lil Tony Race come to all these different coastal tracks, I'm going because I love drag racing, man. I'm not discriminating. They're doing what I like to do, and that's racing. As long as they're racing, they're going to attract me.
Drag, I think you did a, I'm going to say this, you did a beautiful thing. Also, guys, we got a new track in Michigan called Onondaga. If you guys can support us in Jackson, Michigan, try to support the guys. They're small guys, but I heard they got a good hooking track, and they're willing to do anything with everybody. They're not going to be biased. And hopefully Big Dragon have a race there one day, and hopefully, you know, like Drag said, we're going to stop all the bullshit, the Mitch Holly mentality, and we're going to support each other, you know, and we're going to work to get everybody these tracks, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Tail's trying to start in California, but he has the right, he wants to travel to California.
Yeah.
You know, what if we did something to where, not to cut you off, Drag, I'm sorry, sir. But what if we did something? We did a fundraiser between Michigan and Illinois. Detroit and Chicago. We did a fundraiser to get, you know, 10 cars out there.
Yeah.
You know, just to get them out there to race to our support.
When Tao gets something going on in California, man, we're going to have to try to rally hard to get the fellas there, man. Whatever it takes to get it there. And I want to be one. Hopefully I can make it there. You know, yeah, that's a long haul, but we go down there to Vegas to sit in the sun and have fun and go in the casinos. Why can't we go down there and support somebody in a race? You know,
yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of us that's on here listening that they go to Vegas on the regular. You know, so let's do that.
And Drag, not to disrespect you or anything like that, but what I'm saying is that any of you guys, you know, I'm just saying, you got the East Side Stranglers on here tonight. You got a lot of people on this show. But I said, guys who tentatively is going to go, Big Drag, who's going to go. Guys, mail a guy $10. I mean, you know, whatever. Mail them $20 to help them make that trip. You know, Drag is right, dude. I mean, I this is my biggest thing. I just want you guys to stop this Mr. Charlie mentality. Support each other.
Well,
if you don't want to go, just don't go. Just call a guy and say, man, I'm not going. You got to say that this SOB is doing that. Just, I'm not going. Okay, that's
what I'm well, it's definitely been proven that the unity can be put together, man, because look at what they did, Mike Hill and Jay Barnes, you know, and all the guys out of Grudge Inc., man. Look what they put together for me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's such a short place, man. That place was a record turnout, man. Was a straight turnout, man. I could not believe that, you know, the support that I got from all them dudes, man. And I got mad love for all them cats, man, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I talked to none of them on the regular, but, you know, I got love and respect for all of them for what they did because they didn't have to do that, man. But they did that because they enjoy racing and they wanted to support the, you know, the move.
Drag, you know what? It's a lot of guys out here personally.
Absolutely right.
They love you, dude. They love what you put to the game. They love everybody in Chicago, Detroit, from down south to east or west, whichever they get. But Drag, you gotta realize that you personally, man, you never been a funny acting guy. You know, man, you personally did with my car at 141.
Yeah.
And you was like, hey man, this ain't right. You know, we was going through everything. And I trusted Drag. Drag was going right through the damn steps with me. And Drag was going, this ain't right. Something ain't right. You know,
yeah,
man, listen, you know, I'm never getting this, but Drag is one of them guys, man, I'm going to tell you something. If you guys think you're above the law, I'm sorry. Drag will help you. Drag is not a funny acting guy. He's not. And I hear about Bobby Wildchild, too. Bobby Wildchild, he's not a funny acting guy either. He'll help you. I mean, look what these guys spent money on, and you can't tell him he can't help you? Man, get out of here. Get out of here. You know?
Exactly.
You guys had cars as fast as us, and they will do anything to help. And Mr. B, I said Mr. B. Mr. B is a very knowledgeable guy. Very knowledgeable guy. And the other thing Mr. B has ever done, he's always ran Buicks, and you guys have never ran, I'm just saying. Mr. B, talk to him sometime. He's a smart man.
Hey, well, you know, hopefully, you know, this will get through to some of these guys, man. You know, I pretty much, the grudge racing is, you know, that's in my blood, so I can't tell you that I'll ever quit, but I kind of backed away from the grudge racing because of all the, you know, the animosity that it has got to the point where it brings. I don't want to be
mad at nobody, man, and I don't want nobody mad at me, man. That stuff in a lot of instances, it makes enemies, man. You know, when you get enemies like that, people want to see things happen to you, bad things happen to you, you know. And it's all about, you know, some egos. I don't race like that. When I ran the boys, they put me in 3-Love Car, and I ran Jeff. You know, I did everything I was supposed to do, and Jeff, let me tell you, Jeff got back around me. He beat me. When I got back to the pits, I walked over there and shook his hand. But to back up a little bit, 3-Love and Tommy were darn near going to blows over there before the race, pushing each other and all type of crazy stuff. You know what I'm saying? But I stepped in there and I told him, man, that ain't what we come here to do, bro. We come here to race.
Sure.
When Jeff beat me, I got out that car, went in there, and I shook his hand. You know, and that's how it should be. Why are we fighting about this racing? We should be fighting about this, man. It's crazy. You get to the point where you disrespecting him, you call him out his name. Next thing you know, you're talking about his mother. You're talking about his kids. Well, these are things that people fight about. You know, leave that stuff. You know, leave that out of the racing, man.
That's right, because drag it ain't never been whatsoever, because, you know, drag, we talking about all the years that we did race drag. When the race was over with, the fight was when we got back in the garage, because if somebody whooped us, we had to go and fight and do something to that car to get that car ready so we can go back and try to get some get back. You know what I'm saying?
You go right, man.
That's right.
Hey, Rick, you know, back in the day when we were racing and street racing real popular then, we wouldn't go out to the track. We went to the gas garage if they won, so we could take our joint, because we knew when our turn came, we were going to dish it out. It was never no fight, right? It was our fight was without a lip. You know, we lip fight then. We would go to your garage after you beat us. That was our sole purpose, to beat you to the garage. Fight a grill up, talk smack. You won, you're supposed to talk. These guys today can't take it. It's all about fighting today. It's all about the game banging thing. You know, we didn't have that.
Right.
We just didn't have
that. That's a good thing you mentioned, because there's a lot of them involved in the racing, and they're not racers. They're troublemakers.
Well, see,
and I don't have
that's what I said earlier. See, that's what I said earlier. When I said I saw this change coming in the late 80s, early 90s. That's when they really started getting into it. And they I figured the older guys, we were born in the drag race. Yeah, either our fathers did it, our uncles did it, our cousins did it. We grew up in it. They came along and they seen an avenue to get paid, so they jump in it. And like you said, they had pretty cars. But it's a big difference than jumping in it just to get paid, payday, versus racing because you love it. I remember, and my wife is here now, she said the same thing. We had never been together sexually. We went to the hotel. My beeper went off. This is my first time getting ready to hit this. But my beeper went off. She looked at me and she said, go ahead, I'll be here when you get back. Because she knew I wanted to see that race. She knew I was going to see that's when you're born into drag racing. You know, you got gas. It's just not like that now.
She didn't want to get your change, so she let you go ahead on till you come right.
Hey, it would have been weird for me the way it goes.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, somebody in the background sound like they're calling them hogs real good.
All right, hey, guys. Dre, help me out real quick. We don't want to get nobody's mic, but I'm trying to find it, guys. And I'm kind of hit tonight. I'm hit tonight. Let me see what I can find.
What you do is just do them all, start opening up the ones you know. That's how you get rid of that.
This big wheel is not me. I'm not going to have nobody's name out. I would never do that. I would never have nobody's name out. This is a good family show. We're having a good time. All right.
I'd like to know who is on there going to sleep on the phone and should have muted their phone.
Someone out of true drag race.
The man might have had a hard day at work, but shit, go on and hang up the phone first, you know?
He's going like a truck driver.
Like,
doing that.
Baby boy.
Why you being my mic? Go, man.
Hey, guys.
You're going to
talk to him.
with my wife, man.
Y'all forget Cadillac Joe banned at the show tonight.
Hey, Cadillac Joe, you over here?
Man, I can't get in.
You glad you can't
get
in. You in the show tonight.
Hey, Cadillac Joe.
Hey, drag.
Do we get it? I think we got
him.
Yeah,
you got it.
Okay, well, I know who it is, and I got him. So, guys, we I'm not gonna say nobody's name. We gonna press on nobody. I got the person. I'm gonna try it. Let me.
Okay. Hey, Jack, why don't you go
ahead
and announce some races, man?
I mean,
events coming up, man.
I don't. My race is, well, I got one coming up in my first race,
Mike, man.
My first race is coming up May the 17th at Sisson, Missouri. I haven't put it all together, but I do have my date. I will be getting back with everybody at a later date, probably sometime in March. I do have my annual race that comes every year, August, the first weekend of August, the Saturday and Sunday at Byron, you know, and I'm open for all of you guys that's racing that comes all the time. I want to know what it is that y'all want to see or what you guys want to do so we can try to orchestrate it and get it done for you guys so we can have it. I want to make this thing bigger and bigger every year, and I'm open to suggestions. If there's any type of racing you guys want to do, or anything that you want to see, y'all guys let me know. Pretty much we can make it happen if it's something to do that's right, is what I'm saying. BJ kind of go along with anything I want to do up at that track. We can have our way. My third race will be at Union Grove the third week of September. But I do know the date. I got it wrote down. I'm not around where I got all my notes and things at y'all. But I got three races coming so far. For the guys that's listening, especially my southern buddies, you know, Memphis buddies and Arkansas and Mississippi guys, my first race is going to be close to y'all in Sisson, Missouri. And I'm going to be looking forward to having you guys down there. You know, we're going to try to put something together and make it a really good show. So that's where we are with that.
Hey, don't y'all forget about the Mardi Gras race, Big Clark and Gadget having.
We got Big Clark and Gadget at the end of this month here. I'm not sure the exact dates, but I don't have them in front of me. That's why I didn't keep going.
Where it's going to be at?
The 28th and the 29th in Meridian, Mississippi.
What we need to do is get Big Chris on the line right quick if we can, somebody.
Yeah.
Can we get Chris on the line? Is that okay with you, Kevin, where he can speak on
the
break?
Who you want here, Drag? Tell them who you want. You want Mississippi Joe? I mean, you want
Big Clark. We want Big Clark. Big Clark on the line.
Hey, Drag.
Yeah.
Is there any way you and Leon can text me his number? I'm looking for it right now.
Hold on. You know his Eric code, right? I can just tell you the number. You know his Eric code.
Hold on one second, sir. Let me write his number down.
Hey, Drag.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, it's Cadillac, man. Hey, Leon, Uncle Larry, everybody, man, I appreciate y'all on the show, man. Good topic, man. Y'all came in and set it out. But
hey,
I wanted to give you that. Yeah.
Cadillac, you got a shop in Indiana?
It's in, South Holland.
I know you was in South Holland. I thought maybe Larry Frank would talk about somebody else because he told me that we was in Indiana today over in Gary, and he was saying that it was Cadillac Joe's shop right there. I said, I thought his shop was in South Holland.
Yeah, I got another shop I'm finna get in Indiana, in Gary. I'm trying to get another
okay.
one over there. I got two, but I'm finna get another.
Okay, yeah, well, maybe that's the one that Frank was talking about then, because we were together over that way today, me and him were together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because do you know Ray Lowe and them address
to the banquet
party? Yeah, to the banquet that they're going to have.
You know, I do get it, Cadillac Joe. Just take my number down and call me. I'll give it to you tomorrow when I get my truck. The flyers is in my truck. I got it right now.
I'm gonna announce it over the air. It's 14112 Chicago Road in Dalton at the Epic Center.
Okay.
That's in Dalton on the 23rd.
Okay.
So, man, it'd be nice if everybody could show out, man, you know, come up. But like I say, man, you guys really topped off on a lot of things that, man, that used to go back in the day. Because, see, we used to love to see you and all the guys come from the West Side, and we reversed the West Side, the South Side would get knocked off. But, man, it was just the fellowship of it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it was a really decent rivalry that went on all the time. And you want to know some funny stuff? Dudes thought that we didn't like each other, man. The majority of them guys
was never that. It was never that.
All them guys that we ran out south with my friends, and they still my friends to this day. You know, me and Raylo, me and him go back to the U.S. 30 days. Me and Bob, his older brother, we go back to the U.S. 30 days. You know, all of them guys are my friends. Spencer, Boom Farm, you know, Red Eye.
Me and Keith and Don Yee now.
That's right, Keith and Don Yee was a youngster. But I'm talking about Keith and Frederick.
Don Yee used to hang on to my belt while Keith drank.
Hey, Greg. Hey, do you remember Fireman Wesley?
Yeah, I remember Wesley.
You know, he used to come on 95th Street, and he'd be drunk, man, running his boot. That boot was fast as all get out, but he'd just be drunk. But, man, he'd come out there and show out on 95th and Paxton.
I remember, Maurice, I remember one time, me, Lil Jack, Mike, Star Child Mike, Vic, all of us, Wesley, was on 95th, way down there on the other side of Jeffrey, on the other side of Stony Island. We racing, and there was some Spanish brothers come up, you know. They was on some humbug stuff, so shots get fired, man. And I'm telling you, and I'm taking you back in, like, maybe 79, 80. I'm taking you way back there, man. Them
tests that was in 83. That was 82. That was 82.
Yeah.
That was 82.
So You know what I'm talking about.
We was in the bowling alley.
It was
out of a movie. Back in the day, man. That's way back, man. We used to have a good time, man. The new guys, they don't know nothing about that, man. They always want to be on the hum. It's personal with this. You know, drag racing has never been personal, man. It's always just been business. Get to the point, man. You hope you brought enough. Let's get down.
That's what it used to be, and if we could get it back to those days, the guys would really enjoy the racing, man. I can't enjoy the racing, but, you know, 10 people got guns on them. I don't remember going racing when I ever had to have a gun with me, man.
No.
I don't need a gun to go racing.
Hey, Drake. Drake.
I'm listening to you, Kevin.
I can't get Joe on, Mississippi Joe. I mean, Clark on. I can't get him on because the show has got me where I'm kind of locked out to get him on. I started just trying to call him. We passed time. But I could text you his number, or I can, you know what, let me try and call him. Damn, I ain't even, let me try to get him on the three-way.
I got his number.
Okay, just he'll get on your three-way with you if you want him on, sir. I was like, you know, I can't get him on because it's after hours.
I can't get him on either because every time I try to use my three-way, it hangs the phone up, so.
No problem.
Another thing, I want to speak out for my little buddy Butt Naked, man. Congratulations to Butt Naked, man, for his award that he won. I talked to Butt Naked today for the first time in probably five or six, but there's a lot of guys like DJ Grant. You know, I used to talk to all them cats on the regular, man. I just want y'all to know that, man, I ain't acting funny, and I ain't mad at nobody, man. I just had to get out the way, you know, and do what I do, and that's where I've been,
man.
All you guys, you got love.
They drag.
They hated.
Oh, man, they hated.
They drag.
Man, number one, that just hated. And like I told him, you know, you got that award for 2013. This is 2014. You got that.
Right.
That's yours. And can't nobody take that away from you because you earned what you got, man. Just keep it moving, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I got something for y'all. I got something for y'all for Butt Naked.
You know, I'm gonna play this little chime for y'all for Butt Naked. Hold on one second.
You need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
Yeah, that Butt Naked.
That's
say
the
it.
Fact.
That's Butt Naked.
That's the fact. That's the fact.
Hey, Greg, they don't know nothing about that, man. Hey, them youngsters don't know nothing about that, man. That's old school for real, there, boy.
They don't even know what they come off of.
They don't know what they come off of, man. That came straight from the man.
Hey, Dre, I'll give you one more.
You need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
Yes, sir. Yep.
But like I say, you know, man, it's a good show, man. I appreciate you coming on, Drag. Man, homage to you.
You know, you guys text me because Sam be texting me too when his show come on. I meant to get on there last night, but by the time I thought about it, it was too late to get on. Y'all, I don't have no problem with y'all calling me and texting me. You need any tech info or whatever, man. My number's the same, and I don't have a problem with giving it out open. You know, it's my business line anyway. So for all the listeners, they need to help. Is Wick so long? Is Wick so long? I'm sorry, Drag. Is Wick so long? Wick.
It is not Wick. It is Grudge Racer of the Year. We must address Mr. Grudge Racer of the Year properly.
Grudge. Mr. B, we're gonna help this one out because you know what? Tony Bynes cried the night so goddamn bad. This is ridiculous. But you know what? I'm gonna do this one thing and I'm done with it. It's not just you guys in there. And Drag, you tell me know if I was just respectful. But I'm going to hit this one thing on here. Wick, you deserved everything you did, brother. And I'm going to tell you this now. We heard Wick from shows. He said, what was the criteria for him to win it? And Wick did it. But let's I'm going to go with this one real quick. And I'm not going to play it no more. But it's for Wick because you're a Grudge of the Year.
You ain't going to do shit. Nigga, you ain't gonna do shit. You ain't gonna do shit. You ain't gonna do it. You ain't gonna do shit.
Hey, Wick, that was for you, bro. That it wasn't a person for you. But let our haters know they hate you. It's ridiculous, dude. You know?
Hey, Grudge, right there again. Hey, Grudge.
We
got Big Claw on here, y'all. Big Claw coming on here to announce his show, y'all.
Hold on,
Top Flight. First of all, man, don't nobody hate witless 5'2" motherfucking ass.
Hey, man, that's Grudge Racer of the Year, man. His name ain't getting no more. It's Grudge Racer of the Year. That's Grudge Racer of the Year right now. Hey, Clark.
Hey, what's up, man?
Clark. We got one thing that we'll do for Wick tonight, right? We'll do one thing for Wick. And this is for Wick, and no one told nobody to do it but me. I'm doing it. Wick, this is for you.
You need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
Wick, you grown folks, baby. Hey, I think all the boys love you out here. We just want to hit that one up for you.
Yeah, Clark, they're trying to find out the location of your race, and they want to know what the date and everything is.
Okay. It started Friday, February 28th, and we're going March the 1st. So it's just Friday and Saturday. If anybody want to come in early, which on a Thursday or whatever, test and tune, they can come in and set up at the track. It's Battlefield Raceway, the name of the place, and that's in Collierville. That's about maybe 15 minutes from Meridian. We do got hotel accommodation for everybody set up in Meridian. All the Marriott, you just mentioned that pre-Mardi Gras is closing, and they will give you discounts in Meridian, any hotel.
Hey, Chris, we need you to come on with an address because a lot of these guys on GPS, they directions there. So if you don't have an address, you need to come on tomorrow with an address to the actual drag show.
Okay. All right. I can't get that drag. I mean, I don't have one of the fighters.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey, Chris. What's up, baby? You know, Tell that show tomorrow night. And you know, Tell loves you. You and Big Drag, boy, you can't think bad about y'all. But yeah, man, get on Tell show tomorrow night. The boys in California said they want to come out to a good race, and he's been promoting your race since last year. So if you can, get on tomorrow night. And what time is Tell show, guys? It's
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
Yeah. 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock Chicago time.
Chris, what's your time down there where you at?
I'm on the same time in Chicago.
You're on the same time in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same time in Chicago, man. I make sure I'm on. I have all the information that you guys need, man, as far as the address, the phone numbers and everything that you need.
Hey, Big Chris, I want to say it to you. Man, it's good to hear from you, brother. We love you. Like Big Drag, we love you, brother.
Hey,
we love you.
Hey, man, it's good to meet you, brother.
Oh, my goodness.
Bro, you know what? The callers just said that. You know, it's just good to hear from our people, and that's all we got to say. So if you don't like it, that's fine. We're going to mute his mic. Say what you got to say.
Grand
Race of the Year.
Hey man, I want to congratulate Witt on his accomplishment. You know, he sent out last year in the beginning to get that Grand Race of the Year. I'm glad he got it. He deserved it. So Witt, you know, congratulations, brother.
You know what? The thing about Witt, I'm gonna say this about Witt, and Witt, I'm sorry if I just cut you off, but you know, Witt said this all last year. He said, what is the criteria for me to win? What is the criteria for me to battle? And that's why I try to tell these guys, you know, you guys get on these shows and you run your mouth and you don't know it. And then Tony Bias, he gets on the show and says, what's the criteria? No, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to say it. Wick went to the man last year and said, I accept that Tony won it. I have no problem with it. But just tell me how can I compete to get it. And Wick did it. So what's the problem?
Well, here's the problem. Let me do the problem here. Here's the problem right here. I texted Rick this the other night. The problem is that you didn't ask what the criteria was when you was winning because you knew. So why should it be that different now that you didn't win? See, I think that's the biggest problem that anyone would have with Tony. When you win, yes, sir.
You got to understand, Whit and Tony, those are competitive. Those are competitive.
But what I'm saying, Dre, the criteria, it shouldn't be changed because you lost. I mean, I don't have anything against a man. I understand he's a competitor. So I took pictures with him up at the track at a BS event. I like the guy as a person. I think he's a nice guy. But why would you even remotely think that it should have changed because you lost? It's got to be the criteria. If it has not been announced, made by Jay Barnes and saying there's something different as far as the criteria go, it's only obvious that it has to be the same that you won now that you lost.
Well, definitely.
I mean, I'm not even putting the guys on the show, but look at this way. This is my thing, that Wick went to the man and said, what is the criteria for, you know, what is the competitiveness for me to win? What is the competitiveness for me to try and compete for this? And then, you know, Tony was on the show. I heard Tony, didn't say nothing. But Tony goes, now he wants to win the criteria. Well, you run it 4 years in a row, but then now Wick wins it. You don't give a fuck about it. Wick and say, you know, Wick, congratulations, bro. You won it, and hopefully I get it back next year. I'll get it back the following year. That's my biggest thing. Is it really, you know, go ahead, guys.
Wick won it fast square, and Wick is deserving of it. When Tony won it, he won it fast square. He is deserving of it.
And he was deserving of it. That's right.
Okay. So this is what I'm saying, guys. This is what I'm saying. Wick can go to Tony and say, oh, Tony, you deserve it. You know what? Wick said, man, what's the criteria that I need to compete to get this? He didn't say win it. He said compete to try and get it.
and he won it. So,
right.
You know, why is our Badger with?
Kevin, let me stop you for a minute.
Go ahead, sir.
The awards were presented to Grudge Inc., right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Grudge Inc. has a body that selects the winners. Regardless of if I like it, you don't like it, Tony don't like it, Witch don't, it doesn't matter. And Tony has the freedom of speech. He can speak about what he wants to speak about.
And that's what we're saying.
All I'm saying is the man that was most suitable for the award in Grudge Inc.'s body of people that picked the winners and the losers, he won it. He won it. You understand what I'm saying? So,
anybody that listens to this show have heard me say several times, I felt like Cold Killer should have been Grudge Racer of the Year. But now that Wick won, I also said it would be an injustice if Wick didn't win. Because
the man did exactly what he was told to do. You got more than
He did exactly what he was told to do, though. He asked what to do. What do I have to do? He was told what to do. He went out and did that. And like I said, it's not having a problem with Tony. The only problem with Tony is that he seemed like he come on the air crying. What is the criteria? These are questions Tony Bynum should have been the last person to ask, considering you don't want it 4 years in a row with the criteria.
Right. So
Mr. Wick win.
Right. Caller, we're not battering you. This is what this show is about. This show is about you to voice your opinion. But what we're just saying is that Wick, he went to the man. I'll give you a scenario. Say if you got 10-5 times stock suspension, and you're competing with X amount of people. I'm not going to say X amount of people. Okay. You're going to fight your X amount of people. Wick went to the man, so you know what? He said, I'm glad Tony won. Have you ever heard which Wick badger Tony for winning? What he said was, what do I need to compete with Tony to win this award? And that's all Tony did. I mean, that's all Wick did. So, I mean, I'll tell you, Tony. Why he's a bad motherfucker.
Tony is a bad son of a gun. You better know he's a bad son of a gun.
But Wick did the right thing, see? And this is what I'm trying to stop, this Mr. Charlie mentality. Wick went to the man and said, what do I need to compete? Wick didn't say I want to win. He said, what do I need to compete?
Well, this is what I'm going to say about that, and I'm going to get out of it. I don't believe neither of the three that D just named, meaning Tony B, Wit, or Cold Killer. Three of them going to lay down, okay? None of them going to lay down.
True.
So it's going to be a dog fight again this year. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well, you know what? And you're right, caller. What I'm saying is that it's going to be even better now. It's going to be even fucking better. You know? But that's not deter or that's not Wick because he won it. Wick went to the man. Wick, no, I'm not. When they won the show last year, you know, Wick was the first person on the show last week on Tail show. When they did one of the win, and Tail said, you know what? This is what Wick said. Wick said, he told everybody. He said, I went to the man who was the criteria to win the Grudge of the Year. And we were like, well, okay, Wick, cool. And we were like, well, you know, he didn't get any details. But the thing of it is, the man, that's the point I'm trying to get to people. Find out what category you want to race in. Find out what category you get Grudge of the Year or Girders or wherever you at. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not badgering nobody. I think everybody has a voice.
I agree with you, Drake, on that. Ain't neither one of them going to lay down. I definitely agree.
You go lay down.
Like I said, no one is taking nothing from Tony. I agree with you on that. Tony's a competitive. Tony's a winner. It's just he seemed like he's crying. Well, I won't say he's crazy. He was crying that night.
Yeah.
You know, just because of one statement he made. What is the criteria? We want to know what is the criteria. You should be the first one to know what the criteria is.
You're right, caller. He should know. So don't
you know, a lot of people can't accept change, D. You know, change is going to come, man. You know, ain't nobody going to win it all the time.
you know, change gonna come, man, because that's what life is full of. Life is full of changes, you know. A lot of people can't accept change. Oh, but at the same time,
with that, it goes right back to what I say again. Change, like you said, change is gonna come.
Okay.
Mr. B,
Uncle Larry.
Let me hear what D's saying.
I want to say right now, if you go back to Greg Richard of the year in Michigan, I would have voted for Wayne. That's my personal opinion. That's my personal opinion. No one else. Uncle Larry's first opinion. Mr. B, that's my personal opinion. Now, Mr. B, I'm sorry. Uncle Larry, I'm sorry, but y'all go ahead and take over the show.
Who was the Greg Racer of Michigan?
That was Johnny Quick. But Johnny Quick did more. This is my personal opinion. So go back again. It's my personal opinion that Johnny won more. He won more shootouts and he won more Gregerson. Now I could be wrong, and I'm not gonna back anybody. Johnny Quick is good for the game.
Let me get you straight, bro. I don't nothing against Johnny Quick or nobody. Grudge racing and shootouts are two different types of racing, okay? Do not put them two in the same box with each other. Grudge racing, win shootouts, and grudge racing are two different things, man. It ain't no different than grudge racing and bracket racing, grudge racing and class racing, okay? Those are the categories that shootout racing should be put into. They do not nowhere go together with grudge racing. Know that, man.
I just gave my personal opinion, like everybody else in the song, which can.
The reason I say I agree with you is because of the simple fact that, number one, first of all, if a lot of them say that they want to take it and put it because you bet a couple of dollars when you are shooting out, that turns it into a grudge race. I totally disagree. You know, but I don't fight them on it. You understand what I'm saying? But I still totally disagree because it's not the same thing.
It's not.
It never has been. It never will be.
No, it's not the same. It's because you put some money up, you could put. That's just like a gambling in the bleachers when you at a bracket race. You know what I'm saying? You betting on one car and you betting on the other car in the bleachers or whatever the case may be. Grudge racing is strictly grudge racing, man. It's in a category of its own.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as anything else. And anybody that begs to differ with them, we can debate on it. But
I was just giving my opinion. You know, it was nothing. I'm not badgering. I'm not badgering.
No, I'm not I'm not saying that you are. I'm just speaking on what you were saying about. They said that he won so many shootouts. And stuff like that. That any shootout that anybody won, anybody should not account for being as a grudge race.
And me personally, I have nothing to do with Wayne, but this is my personal opinion. You know what I'm saying? That's my personal opinion, and I'm not badgering nobody, but you know, Wayne. I mean, it's my personal. I just think Wayne did more grudge racing than Johnny Cook did. He did more than a lot of the guys did, you know. But that's my personal opinion, you know. So we'll leave it on and let you guys go ahead and continue the show, you know. Nothing major, but that's just my personal opinion. Three Lug is from Illinois, so he's from Indiana. But Three Lug did more damn grudge than a lot of people did. That's my personal opinion. Just me.
Well, listen, guys, it's more than just. I mean, we have to look to the criteria once again. It's more than just grudge racing. Jay said it's grudge racing, high profile. You know, excuse me, as he. This goes back into what we were talking about last night on the show, where I said, if you don't have a mouthpiece, you're not known in drag racing.
someone has got to be a mouthpiece. Drag and I come from the old school, but he will tell you, we were some of the loudest jokers in drag racing. This is how we are known today. Well, this is what Jay Boss is saying when he speaks of high-profile racing. See, if you and I sneak off, Kev, and run right now, okay, for, say, $5, that's a $10 pot. But only two or three people that see this race. It's not classified as a high-profile race, even if it had high-profile money. Versus I go and run first race of the year for $2,000, but we got 10,000 people that are watching. See, it's going to be classified as a high-profile race. And this is what the criteria Jay was saying when he said high profile, say,
on a national level.
Right. That's what he mean when he say that, say.
Like, a national level.
Even though the money was there, the people wasn't there. The popularity wasn't there. You know, it can get kind of icky, but my only thing is that it's been the same. The grudge race of the year that I spoke the other night, and we both agreed it should be one stipulation should be changed that I think should definitely be changed, and he agreed. In fact, he brought it to my attention. Mm-hmm. It should be put in place a minimum amount of races. That's not been said. A max could be any, but it should definitely be a minimum. Where I have to run 10 or more or 20 or more. You know, now you start to tell a person basically what he has to do and what he has to get done to compete for this thing.
Well, you know, I agree with you guys. I think it's done over with. But you know, if you ask my question, I think Wick won the hands down. I think Tony Wright would have been competitive too, but Tony Wright and Tony Bynes did not go to the man and ask him the questions. So don't badger, you know what I'm saying? Don't badger when they ask the questions. That's the thing I like about Wick. And that's all take away from Wick. Wick wouldn't ask the man after banquet in Hattiesburg last year. He said, what is it that I need to do to compete with it? He said, win it. He said, well, I need to compete to win it or to a certain extent. You know what I'm saying? And Wick, and basically Wick did it. So hands on to Wick. We love you. We hope you keep going on. And we hope Tony Bynes keep going on. Tony Bynes, he's going to have a camp. But don't get badgered because Wick outsmarted you. That's my personal thing. I'm done with it.
Well, I think that's a part of the competitiveness of the person, you know, the nature of that beast. You know, Tony's a competitor. Wick is a competitor, you know. Tony Wright, those guys are competitors, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that they're sore losers. I'm not calling either by person just sore losers. But when the person loses, it just don't settle with them good. You know, they lose because they want to win. And that's just the competitiveness of that type of a person, man. You know, that's the heart of a lion. You know, they want to win. They want to win. And lose, they don't agree with it at all. But, you know, they accept it. You know, some people do lose them better than others. You know, I've seen Tony lose. And I've seen Tony complain about races that he lost, but I've never seen him quit trying to race. He continues to come back. He continues to come back. You know, Wick is more easygoing when it comes to a loss or, you know, being more passive about it if he loses. He just lets it go. Some people speak about it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make him a bad person. I'm not saying that you called them a bad person. I'm just telling you about, you know, the heart of a lion, man, and that's what Tony is. You know, he's a competitive, and that son of a gun wants to win. You know,
I don't think that we're trying to badger Tony. Is that the question? I'll try to tell you guys: if you want to compete for something, go to the man and find out what the criteria is, and that's all Wick did. Don't badger Wick. I think Tony Bynes, he's a hell of a driver. He's a hell of a crew guy. But this kind of person, Wick just went to the man and said, hey, man, what do I need to do to win it? And Wick followed the rules. I think Tony got to the point to where, you know, he's like, well, I'm going to win to a certain extent, you know, and I got it. But my hands is down to Wick. I mean, Wick,
went out there. He had Kaiser compete, and he just did what he had to do. You know, I don't think Wick was the type of person. You know what? He was funny about it, but Wick just said, you know what? I'm going to compete. You know, I'm going to lose races. Hey, and he said it before the show. I'm going to lose races.
It's a fact that Tony Bryan is a competitor. It's a fact that he want to win.
Right.
That's been proven. I mean,
hey, but you want something about winning and losing? Give me a second here, D. Let me say this,
it.
Kevin.
You got the floor. You got the floor, sir.
You want to know what makes the absolute best winner in racing?
The
what
person that knows how to lose.
Winner in racing that you could ever find. A good loser. You got to be a good loser to ever be a good winner.
You got to be.
If you're not a good loser, you will never win, bro.
You're a good winner. No. You got to know how to lose. You got to accept losing.
That's right. You got to know how to lose. Exactly.
Now,
you know.
Who said that?
Remember what Steven Seagal said, somebody rich? He said he wants you to karate instructor. He wants to learn how to hurt people. And the man told me you got to learn how to heal first before you know how to hurt.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
You got to learn how to lose in order to know how to win.
That's a real statement right there.
Everything you do in life.
A lot of folks don't know how to do
loser,
that.
You are never ever to be a good winner.
That's right.
Always remember that, bro.
Now, I got a question. How can we get that over to the young people, the new generation of drug racers?
They're going to have to mature, bro. They're going to have to mature. That's the best thing I can tell you. A lot of these guys, you know, they don't even understand what being humble is, you know. And I was a young kid, and I was wild too. And it took me to jail.
But you learn from it.
Oh, no doubt, man. It made me the person I am today, man.
That's it.
You know,
I can take
a whooping just as well as I can take a win.
Yeah.
That's my whole thing.
Everybody know you're a nice guy and you will travel, so that's a good thing.
Grudge Racer of the Year.
I'm glad y'all gave me the opportunity to come on here, man. And I'm going to get off of
here.
I'm getting another call in, I guess. So.
Good to hear from you, Drag.
Okay, y'all. Y'all take it easy, man. I'll be in contact.
Drag, appreciate you, man. Hey, Drag, appreciate you, man.
No problem, man. Y'all stay up, man. Keep your ears up.
All right,
Drag.
Grudge Racer of the Year.
Yeah, can I help you, sir?
Hey, man, I just want to tell you, man, you're on the Cadillac show, man. You're on the Cadillac show, man.
Cadillac, calm down, because you banned us. We had to hold this down, man.
You say what?
Take it easy, Cadillac.
Man, Cadillac got it rolling and going, baby. That's all. Leon, hey, man, I appreciate you tuning in, man. Good show, man. Good show. Real good show, man.
Oh, yeah.
I want to tell everybody thanks for tuning in, man. And, man, this is what I'm talking about, man. This is Chicago Street Racing. We got history here. See, it's old school over here. See, the other cats, them young schools, they be ba-da-da-da-da. But, you know, they got to learn. Take time.
I just hope I ain't seen no weather, but come March the 1st, everybody should be, you know, the ones ain't going no racing. Go watch. Support.
That's it. If you got wheels and you can travel. You know, that's all I say, man. Get out here and support everybody and do what you can, man. Let's be brothers out here, man. Let's be tight.
Yeah, so we support each other. It's going to be a good turnout. Everything will be good.
Hey, Leon.
Yo.
Man, I wanted to thank you for what you did. We know what you did. It was good to hear from my big brother, man.
Hey, I want to thank all y'all, man. It's Mother's Day. Hey, I'm kicking back and I'm going to do Valentine's tomorrow because everything was full tonight. So it wasn't even worth getting out there and all that. And that plus, it's snowing up here.
Really, I'm catching it right now because she's looking at me right now like, are you about to, Joe, no, I'm not going to do it tonight. Look, it's about to end close.
Hell no. A lot of y'all going down to the battlefield?
Yeah, I'm going. You know, them my peoples, man. I got to go support Gadget and Clock. I got to. Because I know they'll do the same for me. I know if any other folks come see us. So I'm going. I need a break, and I'm ready to put some gas and nitrogen and see some real live racing anyway.
And I also want to say this. I think you thank Leon, man, because a lot of people want to call him Leaking Leon, call that bullshit. But Leon been in the game for a long fucking time. And, man, I'm telling you now, I drive trucks for a living. I call Leon, baby, Leon. He be like, man, what you doing? I said, man, I'm about to come through. He's like, come on, get your knee. Come take your shower. Come get you to sleep. That's a true friend. You know what I'm saying? So, Leon, man, I love you, man. I appreciate all you done for me, brother.
Hey, Kevin, they can say a leak, and I'm going to leak some on their ass 2014, boy.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think now that we got this show on Friday night, I'm telling you, dude, you guys are doing exceptionally well. The show gets good numbers. And you guys have been just doing excellent, like, you know, just getting the show. I'm telling you right now. He said, man, if I do the show, you about to just, you people might have said all night. He said, man, old people's mics up. And I've been trying to help out. And all you guys, man, doing an exceptional job. Keep it going. Your mic, kind of like Joe told me, he said, you're not going to, he said, open the mics up. So open them up. People got to say what they got to say. Not anybody talking about something super, super negative where there's something ignorant. He said, don't mean nobody's mic. So, Leon, I just want to say, man, Mr. B.
Hey, DJ Grant still on?
Who?
DJ still on?
Let me check for you, sir. No, he's off.
Oh, okay.
And DJ Grant, I want to say about DJ, old DJ. DJ is a very personal guy. Know DJ for a while, and I met him down in Montgomery last year. And I want to tell you guys, man, Drag, Leon, there ain't no funny acting guys. Kind of like Joe. I'm saying all you guys in the show. And y'all ain't any funny guys. And this was going to make the presence. If you guys keep doing what you're doing, it's going to make you guys wake up and just say, you know what, I'm going to race, I'm not going to race. That's my personal opinion.
Hey, I got a question, man.
You got it, brother. The floor is yours.
Who y'all think this year gonna sneak up, man? Probably take the Grudge real by storm, man. Just anybody, man.
Anybody?
Yeah. But Nick,
who really gonna? Okay.
I say, but
can I pick one or two?
You can't say that because everybody made change to their cars, their motors, and everything else. So, you know, you got a lot of them that made a lot of changes. So you really can't say. You just got to keep back and see what is going on and who got what and who getting out of check and who ain't.
I'm just saying, just like off the top, man. I know we know that, man. I know everybody making them changes and stuff. Like,
well, I'm just gonna make a prediction. Not calling you out, caller. No, my bag. But I'm just gonna say it's gonna be me.
Hey, that's what I guess. Personal opinion.
Yeah.
Hey, now, if you ask me, my personal opinion is who. Who's going to make something really super different this year? And I'll tell you, I got three people. I'm going to pick Leon, DJ Grant, and I'll pick Kelly Joe. And if Kelly Joe got the show, and I'm helping him out, but I think Joe's bringing something different to the game that he just, all he's saying is, look, we talk shit we want, and the man don't cuss. If you understand, Joe don't cuss. The Lord has saved his life, and he's trying to do something different, my personal opinion, I think DJ Grant's going to make a big difference, Leon, and kind of like Joe. You know what I'm saying? I really think them people this year